like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
I hate to break the seal early.
Oh, no.
And I'm breaking a prime directive, piling on in the name game afterwards. However, I just got to tell you, I called Rob.
When was it?
This morning at about 9:30.
Out of the blue. Just called them up and it said, Boris Becker. Yeah.
All night you thought about that. Another when Boris did it come to you?
At 9:30 this morning.
9:30 a.m.
Boris Becker.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's past the...
That's what I said.
Yeah.
It doesn't count.
Boris Becker.
So now that I've started the show on a non-laugh, let's start the show with a real laugh.
You wrote, describing you, I lived in fear all the time, deathly fear. Chevy remembers being awakened in the middle of the night and slapped continually and hard across the face. I don't remember what it was for or what I had done. This was not unusual. Being locked in the bedroom closet for hours. Standard punishment in the household.
As a young child, that's true. I had a very unstable mother who also had a very unstable child. I was not a dummy. I was able to figure out, even as a kid, what I think some of the causes, the root causes of my mother's.
Chevy.
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 Which cheese do you prefer?
This one.
Oh, ho, ho. And now, a new one from the Belcher.
John Gambling.
Oh, again.
Friday, your turn to pick the subject matter. Here is the late great.
I was looking in the lab.
Wow.
Light.
Fresh. Very fresh.
An eerie sight. For my monster from his lab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
Bobby Morris Pickett passed away yesterday. This kind of music, good old WABC music, radio music. Don't forget, Mark Simone tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with the Oldies Show right here at 77 WABC. 2 hour phones, going to start with Rob and Hackensack. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, John. I wanted to say that I think there is such a thing as too much free speech. This has been one of the most eventful months in my 40 years that I've been alive. You have Rosie O'Donnell, who's disgusting. This is too easy, by the way. Rosie O'Donnell is disgusting. I've seen Alec Baldwin actually protesting up at Indian Point. Well, he stood there and he screamed, oh, boy, Michael Mara's taint, oh, boy, whoopee!
All right. Rob, you didn't call yes, you date. Rob, you still there? Rob, you still there? Rob, you still there?
Hi!
Yeah, Rob, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Why do you do this?
For the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, okay. So you get a kick out of doing this. I mean, this keeps you going for the rest of the day?
Well, not for a whole day. It'll probably keep me going until, I don't know, maybe 8 o'clock tonight, maybe.
Do you take medication?
As a matter of fact, it's almost time for my medication.
Yeah, I suspect it is. Rob, you know, Rob, go do something else. Would you please? Go bother somebody else. Okay. We had two people doing this. And how does Rob get through, ladies? How does he get through?
Flipper. Oh, and hold on. There's one more.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the same guy or not.
I hope so. Let me go to Johnny in New York.
Yay.
It is. Oh, dear.
Same guy.
Johnny.
Let me go to Johnny in New York City. Johnny.
Yeah.
I've got just a second here. Go ahead.
Okay. I know you've said that you would never run for office or anything, but what about if somebody offered you an appointment like this?
Yeah, good. He made it again. Oh, my goodness. What a great way to finally end up. You guys got to get better in there. I think we need to put
that voice analyzer back onto the line here, onto the telephone, so that we can get a handle on this guy. Did you bleep him that time? You did. You pushed the button. Because I can't. I hear everything, which is not always the best thing in the world to be able to do. Listen, everybody, have yourself a great weekend. Catch up with you on Monday back here at 77 WABC.
Wow.
That was like his first and last call of the day, right?
Oh, he's fantastic.
Friday. You just heard the phone number a moment ago. 877-365-9636.
Wonderful.
Before we take phone calls or anything else, let's start with a message from Alec Baldwin, who was on The View today.
Mm-hmm.
Alec?
But I'm saying, I see where, I was telling somebody how, and the other thing is that
okay, all right.
I think he made his case.
I'm mocking you, dork.
Yeah. All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
What about the vagina?
How about it, Bob?
Our top winner in the showcase is gay.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
This is quite literally hell on earth.
Be warned. This is extremely graphic. So if you have small children in the room, don't let them disturb you.
It's just a bunch of white trash.
That's enough tapes. That's enough tapes to start the show. Bow now. Girl. Bow now. You suck your guitar hero. Bow now.
Are you talking to me?
Of course I am. I'm not much better myself.
But you practice more than me.
Did I mention Boris Becker?
Yes, I did. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You're so king of the Boris.
I just want to say hi to everybody on the show from the president of the company.
Oh, well, hi back.
That's right. We've changed presidents at CBS Radio so many times that now we're back to the guy that was the president 10 years ago, who's a big fan of the show.
Yeah, he likes it.
He liked us 10 years ago.
He likes us still?
Still does.
Good.
Still does.
You don't have to put a question mark after that?
His name is Dan Mason. Want to say hi to him. He's out there listening today.
Hello, Dan.
Play some requests for him.
Oh, good.
Play some of his favorite tunage.
Play the hits. Play the hits just the way he likes them.
How's that Prince Valiant haircut working out for you, Dan?
Oh. Do you still have that?
No, I'm out on the South Beach diet with a fix that haircut. I couldn't say that to him at lunch today.
Of course you could. This is your forum.
And the, there you go. Thank you.
This is where you're expected to say those things.
Yeah, thank you, Kiss. Actually, he did say to say hello to everybody on the show.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's nice to have a guy who's the president of the company that doesn't hate our friggin' guts. And,
well, let me be the first to say hello to Joe from Dan Mason. Did he say hi to everybody on the show?
Except Joe.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking maybe. I was thinking it was this one time.
No. And also, not John.
Not John?
No.
Sorry, John.
And, not Rob either.
Really? Oh, not Rob.
Not Rob.
Okay.
And,
how unfortunate.
Oh, and not Buzz.
Yeah. And not me?
Yeah, you.
I'm good.
Yeah, you.
Thank God.
Of course.
Thank God.
Thank God. Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God. this guy is a radio guy,
right.
like the last eight or nine presidents
of CBS Radio that they've moved in and out of here.
Right. Now, Buzz is playing the game for me. He's trying to help me out, but Buzz, I don't know that
one. That was covered?
What?
I thought of another Boris. Boris Badenov.
I think we say yesterday that no cartoon Boris is allowed.
That was a rule.
Is that the Boris from Boris and Natasha?
Exactly.
Okay, yeah, no cartoons.
Oh, okay. I thought I had something.
I didn't know his last name, though. That's something Badenov. I'm educated today. Boris Badenov.
Right.
Were you cheating?
Well, Buzz will feed me sometimes.
Divine cheating.
You know, when we're in a little battle together, you know how sometimes you get a little help from Rob, and I get a little help from Buzz?
I don't get help from Rob when we're playing the name game.
You have two. I've seen it with my own two eyes in the past.
Maybe not in this building, but at the old building.
Not during the name game, friend, because he plays the name game.
He sometimes plays the name game, but he's helped both of us.
Have you ever helped me cheat in the name game? If you have to, say it. I don't care.
I don't think so.
Mike, I really don't think so.
All right. All right.
I mean, I confess.
Have you ever helped me play the name game?
It's been a long time.
But yes.
But yeah.
I think I've helped you both from time to time.
Have you? Is it you that's helped Don?
Yeah, whoever's in the lead, sometimes I'll try.
That's right. You've helped Don before.
I'll try to turn it around.
Maybe not Rob.
Whoever's in the lead.
He's handed you signs.
Okay, hand me a sign. He's in the next room.
I hold it up for you. Usually behind Mike's head.
The name.
He's loving that I'm getting upset.
I'm a little stressed. Okay.
Why are you stressed?
You know why I'm stressed.
Oh, the game and everything. Oh, I got something to tell you about that.
Oh no.
Oh no, nothing bad.
I'm going to hold my shoulders just like this. And that's the way I'm going to sing it, incidentally, with my shoulders like this.
Yeah, what the hell? Here's the blanket comment on this. Yes, of course I've cheated at the name game. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
That's right.
And remember, Eaton ain't cheating.
Mm-hmm.
And the grand moment that I had today with this guy, Dan, the president of the company, is that he's very proud that, at least in my case, he started a trend. 29 years ago.
Wow.
In 1978, this guy, I needed a job. I was in Evansville, Indiana, out of work. Wanted a job at the big city at WPGC here in Washington.
Sure.
Washington, D.C., where we do the show from. The guy flew me in for an interview, sat me down at his desk, said, "You are incredibly talented. You're the next rising star. You're the perfect person for this job." You've not held a job in radio at one station yet for 1 year continuously. I'm afraid I cannot hire you. Go and prove to me that you can work somewhere for a year, and I will hire you. I've told that story
before. You've told that. I forgot that he was the one that did that.
Yeah, and the thing that we were talking about today that was interesting was that Bob Pittman, who's another prick radio guy, not that Dan's a prick radio guy.
Former radio guy, right?
Yeah. He stole it from Dan Mason. Because like 3 months later, I got flown to New York for a talk with WNBC, and he also called me in.
Been holding the job for a year.
Played my tape and said, "You're incredible. Unfortunately, I really don't think that you could last a year because you've not been able to last a year anywhere else." And at the time, I thought, I must have a kick me sign on my back.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, these two had chatted.
Oh, dear.
Independent.
Never good.
Not like they had been out to get me.
Right. Never good, though, that executives talk to each other. It's like parents talking.
So actually what I did today was I kind of gave I forgave Dan Mason for that.
Good for you.
Because I said that, in essence, that was a learning experience for me from him, but the other guy was just piling on.
Oh, yeah.
The other guy, because I think what had happened was these two guys were both program directors.
Mm-hmm.
They were at some convention together. My name must have come up. Dan Mason said, "Oh, yeah, that guy's good, but I had to fly him in and somebody couldn't have the job." Like Bob Pittman must have just thought it was fun.
Right.
To say, "Hey, I could do the same thing."
The latter guy, the Bob Pittman, a little mean, right?
The second guy, yes.
A little mean.
Yes.
Well, you got flyer miles.
And he used to be my neighbor.
Didn't he go into the, internet?
Internet. He was
an internet honcho.
He was the brainchild of MTV.
Right. Yeah.
Then he was the brainchild of AOL.
AOL, yeah.
And then he had the misfortune of having me move in on his street. He's the guy you might remember. I don't know, like 10 years ago, one night I couldn't get on my own street because he was having a fundraiser at his house.
And shortly thereafter, it all fell apart
with the Clintons.
It all fell apart for him after that, didn't it?
Yeah, except I think he's got like a million golden parachutes.
Oh, of course he does. Yeah, when they get to that level.
Yeah.
They all do.
Ridiculously rich.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculously rich.
You know, and but like, it sounds like it was a nice trip down memory lane for you.
It was, this guy, Dan, oh boy, I'll probably be struck dead leaving the station today for saying this. He's, as far as the... Ah, no, never mind.
did you self-edit there?
Oh, no, man. I was going to say something nice.
I know. Did you self-edit there? That's why I was saying that.
Why am I saying anything nice about this guy, for God's sake? I almost forgot the part where we were talking about everything going on in the world today, and he said, well, you know, sometimes I think there's free speech, and then there's free speech at CBS.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. One can interpret that a variety of ways.
No good way.
We were just spitballing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
We were just spitballing.
Mm-hmm.
Just chatting.
Right. All right.
You know what I said? That is a great idea. God,
I couldn't agree more completely.
God, that's a beautiful idea.
You are absolutely correct.
Yes. Mike Buddy.
Yes.
Mike Buddy tomorrow night.
Oh.
Singing the national anthem. At your Washington Nationals game.
Starting low, everyone. Don't, oh, say.
Good.
That's how it's starting,
that's
okay?
Right. Against the Mets. Now, when you started that, you almost sounded a little bit like Dennis Murphy.
Well, no. I mean, I did the first thing I did. I went,
okay.
But I'm starting, oh, say. That's where it started. It's going to start that low so I can hit the high note.
Will you please start again like Dennis?
Okay.
Oh.
Actually, he does that in the second set. Hold on a second. Can you say, well, that was really nice. It was finally here.
How long has it been since we've heard from Dennis Murphy?
We heard from him like 3 weeks ago about something.
That's
he called
right.
in about some little subject. I forgot what it was.
And before
it was,
that?
But it was a hit and run. You hung up on him almost as soon as he called.
Months
before, that?
Before that, it was the game, right?
Yeah, it might have been the game.
Which was the last
the Potomac Nationals game when I was playing in the minor leagues.
A year ago.
Yeah. Now that I've made it up to the... What?
You weren't playing in the minor leagues.
Yes, I was playing in the minor leagues.
Don't you remember that game? Mike sang the anthem, then went out and...
What do you call that? It's the same thing, Rob. I'm going to the show.
That's Mike right. Mike sang the anthem. He hit a grand slam home run.
Yep,
and he threw a perfect game.
And what happened this season? I got called up.
Right.
I got called up to the big leagues.
That's how it works.
Well, last night, I'm on the way home. Cell rings. It's our producer, Yanni. They're like, hey, you'll never guess who called me. And I'm like the worst at this game.
Huh.
I go, I don't know, because I think it's like someone related to maybe to a guest for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Gosh, Kiefer Sutherland. He said, no, guess again.
Do it all over again.
Like,
this is fun.
I don't know. Howie Mandel. He said, no, one more guess.
Oh.
I don't know. Regis Philbin. No. Dennis Murphy just called and wanted to know if Mike would give him free tickets for the game on Saturday night.
Well, I only have tickets for myself, Carla, and my two kids.
Right.
I know. Well, I think John...
And then you guys have tickets for yourself.
I believe John told him that plenty of seats are available at the RFK Stadium.
Mm-hmm,
box office. I just thought it was that's interesting, too.
And what's nice about this, going to this game, is no festival seating.
That's true.
That's the nice part. Yes, assigned seats. And I sure hope our section is packed.
I think it will be.
I think it will be, too.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it.
Are you sure you want both your daughters to go? Because Dennis could really use that ticket.
I'll have one of them stay home by themselves.
So anyway, Mike, I thought you might want to take this opportunity to
actually pass something along to Dennis. You know what? Dennis is a good guy. I know I could make a couple of phone calls to inquire about tickets. So, you know, without question, no. Absolutely not. No.
I love it when you do that, when you run right up to it.
Yep.
You're really good at running up to something and then...
I started that years ago.
Doing the 180.
You know, and what it is, it's all about tone. Like you say to them, Dennis, you'd like tickets? You know something? I haven't seen you in a really long time. That'd be a neat idea. You know what I'm going to do? No. No, you can't have any.
But like in all seriousness, Mike, should I make a call and have something left for him at will call?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's the fun way.
Yeah.
That's the fun way.
Make sure you bring ID, Dennis.
I think we'll need Dennis to call in, though, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Dennis is a little overdue, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, on a number of things for this show.
It would be nice if he brought Christmas presents to the stadium.
Christmas presents, I believe, from 2005.
Several years, really. Six and seven.
Uh-huh. Six and seven. Five, six and seven.
3 years. Three gifts for everybody.
Three gifts for everybody. He's in the door.
Call in, Dennis. You heard. If you call in, we'll leave tickets for you.
How about that? We all get three gifts,
that's
and Dennis
great.
Gets to go to a Nationals-Mets game.
We'll leave tickets for you at will call.
Everybody wins.
Right up.
I am very serious. If he comes by with three gifts for everybody,
I know you are.
Valued at a minimum of $100.
Oh, hold on. Are we
changing? That's worth, no, $25 per gift.
I thought what we were going to do is get him to go to the stadium and not leave the tickets for him at Will Call.
Well, we could try that game, but...
I thought that's the game we were playing.
I thought the game we were playing was trying to get Dennis to come down with gifts.
Why can't
he
we,
won't. He never does that.
Why can't we play both games? Because if he comes down there and he has, what, 15 presents... If he made the trip, he's going to have to buy a ticket to get in. Otherwise, he has to take the presents home.
Oh, so you want him to bring gifts to the stadium. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Gifts
yeah.
to the stadium.
Because he
then...
certainly wouldn't be able to get his act together during the show today.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Just like he's going to grow his arm back.
That's right. And get his teeth fixed.
Well, he's a successful entrepreneur now, so I truly hope he's able to, you know, bring gifts.
You would think he could swing the ballpark tickets, though.
Yeah, if he brings gifts to the ballpark. Yes. I can find my way to go out there and say hello through the fence.
Do you think maybe one ticket at Will Call for him? That's all he needs, right?
Yeah.
He's got to call in, though.
He does.
He's got to call in so we can talk to him.
Yeah. And bring your mitt, Dennis, because the foul ball might come your way.
Please, shopping bags, so we don't have to do a lot of carrying.
Please.
Hello there. Thank Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike. Remember me?
Yeah, no.
I do.
Yeah? No? Who? Why? What?
Hey, man.
Okay. All right. Bye. Did everybody remember that guy?
It was great to remember him.
Nobody handles those better than you do.
Hello.
The one thing he wasn't counting on right there.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey.
Mike, good luck tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Giving you some congratulations. Hey, I got a Boris name for you guys. Boris Fed, the NASCAR driver.
Mm. Boris who?
Boris Fed.
Right. He's right. He's a NASCAR. Boris Fed. He's a NASCAR driver.
Was there a race last night?
Hello, Bubba.
I was watching one of the high def channels. That's just a repeat.
That's a rerun, Mark.
A rerun, okay.
It's a rerun.
That confused me. You know, NASCAR. You can tune into NASCAR and be confused sometimes. It's not like watching a ball game, right?
I was watching. What was I watching last night? Basketball. I was watching the Magic play,
right.
And I had no idea. Now, I'm all for, I guess, stadiums being named after corporations if it's a way to get money and you know somehow we get. Lower ticket prices, although it never really happens that way.
No.
It's a fact that you're used now to FedEx Field.
It's part of the nut. It's part of the financial nut that they got
to
cover.
You're used to the corporate names and stadiums, okay? Well, I was very surprised to notice that the place the Orlando Magic now play is called the Amway Arena.
Oh. Amway?
Amway.
Amway's still around?
Just a bunch of white trash.
Pyramid-shaped building.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Isn't it really a pyramid scheme?
No, Amway, I think is legit.
It's as legit as legit can be.
There have been things that were sort of based on it or pretended to be Amway, and they turned out to be.
Do you mean to tell me out of all of the people that have corporate businesses in Central Florida, the best that they can do for their pro basketball team is Amway?
I think it's who comes up with the green.
Sure.
I think whoever's money is green enough, whoever bids the highest. I remember when I was working down in Annapolis, Maryland, doing a morning show down there, I got recruited. For Amway and got recruited in a very interesting way. A guy came up to me like
a very interesting
and
way.
Said, "Listen, I've got a business proposal. You know, and said it to a couple
my
of
my face in your ass."
And brought us out thinking like it was like going to be a little business meeting. We get there and there are all these chairs and like 40 people,
kind of cultish.
And it's Amway.
Yeah,
it's more. And I was put off and you know forever after that.
Nope. No chance to win if you're playing in Amway Arena.
How would you come across Amway soap, Rob?
My grandmother used to buy Amway.
did she sell it, though?
Never did.
Really?
Just enjoyed it from a lady named Betsy. Great soap.
Betsy was the Amway person. And the way Amway works is it's not that you sell their products. You start out selling their products, and then you get to sell products to other people
who are selling products,
and then they sell, and they sell, and that's the whole way it works.
Mm-hmm. And so on.
And so forth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
My lord, my lady.
Howdy.
Another Boris name. Boris Godunov. Die Hard, the first movie.
Enough with the Boris. I never should have brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, really. It's tired and played out, old sport.
Never should have. Brought it up. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what do you guys think about atheism?
I don't believe in it.
Thank God. Thank God. Thank God there's atheism. That's what I say.
That's two jokes for the price of one right there.
There you go, everybody. You know what? That's one he'll laugh like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really, tomorrow.
So I called them and said what they think about atheism. One of them said, I don't believe in it. And the other one said, thank God for it.
I like to die.
Do you know about the dyslexic atheist?
Oh, dear.
Didn't believe in dogs.
Shut up! Hello, Don and Mike show. The crickets are giving you the finger.
I wondered why they were so quiet.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
It's like centipedes. And like 8,000 little insect fingers just going up in the air at once.
Middle insect fingers.
Boy, speaking of, hold on a second there. I know there's got to be some animal rights nut out there to be upset, but I don't give a rat's ass. I got a wasp today in our house that was just driving me nuts. I could not catch this MF-er.
Really? What was his name?
Guy.
Biff.
Guy champion.
Guy champion.
Anyway, I'm chasing this thing all over the house. I got the rolled up magazine, and I finally get up on top of a bookshelf. I've climbed up on top of a bookshelf, and it's like, and I smack it with my left arm, and because I'm holding onto the bookshelf with my right arm, I don't totally kill the wasp.
You stunned it.
And he's down on the floor, and he's almost dancing like Curly did.
Right.
You know when Curly,
doing the circle thing?
Curly would be on the floor.
He's like working on the good legs.
So the wasp is going round and round and round and round. He's a big wasp. And I'm like, you think you're so tough, huh? Think you're going to screw with me all morning, huh? Get my cigar. I get my lighter. Uh-huh. I go, let's see what you think about this. See about you think of me lighting your head on fire.
And you did it.
So here's the thing.
A blowtorch is one of those cigar lighter blowtorches.
Yeah, one of those. So right away. The head gets burned clean off.
Sure.
But the rest of it's still squiggling around.
Right.
Squiggle, squiggle. And finally I'm like, burn, burn, burn. And then, oh, what a satisfying smell that was.
Did you get a pop?
I did not.
Usually sometimes if you burn, right.
Didn't hear a pop.
You hear the, didn't hear a The name is Dahmer. Donnie Dahmer.
So turned on.
You know, that's how it starts with those guys. You know, pulling the wings off a fly.
Yeah, all right.
The neighborhood pets to find them buried in the backyard. And then it's Soylent Green as people inside of about 5 years.
Howdy, Don and Mike show. It's such an unfair fight. It's just an insect. I could just...
Yeah, not really, though, because they can fly and sting. They can fly and sting.
That's right. I could have just squashed him. I didn't have to burn him.
Yeah, but you had to. There was a pursuit I'm taking.
Oh, it was a 10-minute pursuit.
Because you had to pursue the insect. And that's what was frustrating.
Lots of hide and seek.
So the winner goes to the spoils, you know? It'll give other wasps, you know, a little reminder. Maybe they don't want to come around as often. Mm-hmm.
Teach them of their big wasp brains. Mm-hmm. Those big wasp heads.
They're incredibly. If wasps were our size, they'd kick our ass.
Okay. That's the whole thing with Spider-Man is that the reason that he has such spiders, the power is that if a spider was regular size.
Right.
He'd be like Shaq.
Insects would be 6 times stronger than a human if they were our size.
And isn't an ant even stronger than that?
I think that, I don't know, it may vary, but I think it averages 6 with insects.
What about the cartoon Atom Ant?
I don't know, get that ant.
I'm going to go find that ant.
There we go. Yeah, there's the ant. In the ant book.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, Slowskis?
Hi there.
Hey, Mike, you and I have something in common. We are the
Hold on a second.
Hey, no.
No, we don't.
Yes, we are. We are the fathers of daughters, and I have a theory about this Alec Baldwin thing and how he got so out of control there.
Do you now?
I do, Mr.
You know, is it really, really fair to say we have something in common when it's simply being fathers of daughters?
We
have to have something a little more in common
that's
than that.
Big.
Aren't you both incredibly...
We're both baseball fans.
Hey, it's getting better.
Anyway, I was reading on TMZ.
Aren't you both talented public speakers?
Alec Baldwin.
Both human males. He's doing a very fine job, so perhaps you're right. I'm counting 3.
Golfer.
4.
Alec Baldwin is a...
I'm going to need at least 10. That means you've got 6 to go.
Might need 6 more ways that you are in common with him before you can continue.
Able to sing the national anthem.
No, doesn't count.
Yeah.
Why?
Because anybody can sing the national anthem.
Please get out of here.
So what I read on TMZ about...
Hold on,
Alec Baldwin,
no. I am looking for
6 more.
6 more things we have in common.
No, you need 4 more.
No, 6.
You only give
alcoholic.
Alcoholics, that's 5. Or are you calling names? Yeah, no, you are too?
I am.
Okay, all right.
5-1.
Recovering.
Recovering. We're out of here.
Bye.
Sorry.
So long, friend.
See you later.
Recovering. Twitter.
Hi there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey. Just calling in to let you know that the Amway Arena in Orlando is named because the owner is the son of the founder of Amway.
Well, that's great, but it still looks cheesy as hell. I bet that team doesn't win a goddamn game until they change the name of that place.
I want to go to that stadium in Phoenix, the modern one, the really cool one.
Which one, the Cardinal Stadium?
Yeah, yeah, that's the one I want to go
with
to.
The retractable roof, and it's got the
it's like, it looks like a tin can around the outside of it.
And they slide the field in underneath.
It's like a little platform that they slide, and it takes a whole 7 hours or something like that. Wow.
Cool as balls.
Yeah, very, very cool as balls.
Amway Arena. Whole place probably smells like dirty diaper. You know what I mean? I just got that.
Does
whole...
Amway sell diapers?
They sell everything.
Cleaning products, mostly. I would think.
I'm never aware of Amway. I never get like they don't. Well, they do it like direct mail, or do they do it?
No, it's like
mouth?
It's like Jehovah's Witnesses. It's like they just show up at your door.
Yeah, better not show up at my door.
Hey, we had some.
Unless they want to sell Amway ammo.
We had some show up at our house last weekend. It's a good thing Sweet Janet lives there now, because as soon as they came up the driveway, I said, who the hell are these guys? Parking a nice car, like a late model Lexus, bottom of our driveway, two guys get out, look like an insurance salesman, wearing suits. She said, right away, Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, I'll handle this. And she said, no, please, please let me.
So she handled it?
She went out, she got rid of them. She
Were they Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yes, they were, and it was... With everything that's going on in Virginia Tech, did we want to...
That's their angle?
Yeah, right.
Were they selling magazines?
They were not selling
magazines. Did they leave her with a pamphlet?
They left her with a bloody eye.
A bloody sock in the eye.
A bloody eye, Mike.
A bloody eye.
Hi, Joe.
Speaking of Amway salesman.
Look who's here.
If you need any Amway products, Tom Gavin is our representative.
Joe.
Really?
Tom really sell Amway?
That shows you what depths they'll go to promote their message.
There you go. I believe that my statement about the Orlando Magic...
He's the face of Amway.
...has just been cemented.
Amway. Oh, we've included Tom, Gavin, and Dennis Murphy in the opening segment.
And yet Super Dave is just out there hanging by himself.
I know, just doing his own thing.
Not fair.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys, I heard the new Trojan radio commercial yesterday. Did you hear the guy's name? His name is Scrotus. He's the character in the commercial.
That's true, yeah. And that was on our air?
Yeah. Oh, we couldn't do it, I'm sure.
No.
Remember, free speech? CBS free speech. Just a theory.
Uh-huh. I love it when you meet with the man.
He's just spitballing. It sounds like a good idea. Where do I sign up?
I'm just spitballing.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Radio God.
Hi there.
Hey, I got news for you. Amway owns the Orlando Magic, my friend.
Hey, I got news for you. I could give a rat's ass, my friend. Either way, that's a team going nowhere fast, my friend. They might as well be sponsored by that AIDS candy. That old AYDS from the 70s.
Right. And John McCain, I wish he would stop saying my friends. He is a huge abuser of my friends. Friends, my friends, friends. In fact, all politicians ought to ban it from their vernacular. They should not say my friends.
My friends, Jim Nance.
I really think they should replace it with you people.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
And I just think they should replace it with those people.
Those people.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I did that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. In light of Mike singing the national anthem on Saturday, can you please bring back the Don and Mike anthem?
What is that?
I was going to do a few bars.
I like driving home with Don and Mike.
No effing way. No effing way. No. No, this is not a debate. Goodbye. No. What, you vote yes?
I do.
It's on the album. We don't still have that, do we? Do we still have Rob had it in his hand. You know, the things that he looks for 20 minutes, but he had that ready to go. I didn't know that we called that our anthem. Is that what we called it, our anthem?
We did at the time, yes.
We did call it our anthem.
Okay. Request-o-matic.
Oh, no, that's not it. It's good, too.
Ah, the Elvis stuff.
8 years ago, Elvis did a concert, you know. It was in the Coliseum. The Charlotte super glue.
Come on, drink from the Elvis cup.
Before the concert will start, Elvis drank water in a cup. Then he gave the cup to a boy to keep the cup with joy. Since he gave the cup to one, now remember the king with a song. Tell everyone you love the smell, that the cup is for everyone. Come see the Elvis cup, and ask Elvis what's up.
God.
John Gambling, WABC.
I want no part of them. I seriously wanted to vote divorce myself from this part of the show.
Twenty years.
God, please.
Such devotion made me choke at
the people love it.
Makes me want to pull a Robert Young. Really?
God's going to the garage.
Where's the hose, honey?
Thought that I should make that very clear.
Okay.
It's a party without a beer.
Everybody.
I like driving home with Don and Mike. They simply make my day.
You don't even know all the words.
No. No one does. The guy singing doesn't know that.
Simply make my day more bright.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think.
Well, that was fun.
Thing about them, they are both so tight. I like driving home with Don and Mike.
Hey, more bright.
Yeah, hey, more bright.
And no matter if my wife's at home.
Might not rhyme.
Yeah. I ain't going back till I'm finished with the show.
What? That's where his language gets in the way.
Even if my wife's at home, I ain't going back till I finish the show.
Is that the same guy that does Elvis Cup?
Yeah.
No?
No.
Oh. It's a different guy?
He'll tell you that he loves you much, and thank you very much. Come see the Elvis Cup.
To pick the subject matter, here he is.
Oops, sorry.
It's with a show. Jesus wasn't Robbie Ragnar.
Okay, enough of that.
The Elvis Cup is by Renelvis, the Filipino Elvis.
Okay.
And the Russian guy did the national anthem.
Russian. Right. Kind of a similar accent in a weird way.
I bet they would really make a beautiful child.
Come see the Elvis Cup.
And ask Elvis what's up.
What's up?
I hate the anthem.
You do?
I hate the anthem with a passion.
Have you always hated it, or did you develop a hatred for it?
I developed a hatred for it.
Mm-hmm. Let me put it away.
Ah. Well, he's got it like he's going to do something.
Is it the only copy we have?
No, we have it backed up.
Do we really?
Yeah.
Or do we?
I hope so.
You just shattered it.
I hope we do.
You just shattered it.
The strength of 10 men.
Wow.
Only known copy.
You've got shards of CD on you.
Here's your anthem right here. Listen to this.
There it is in pieces.
There's your freaking anthem.
Well, at least we got to hear it before it was killed.
Ow, I cut myself.
Ow, don't hurt me.
Ow, I cut myself.
Joe Besser.
Ow, don't hurt me.
Karma.
Ow.
I like driving home.
Karma, if that's the case, on the way home tonight, a busload of naked women should fall into the back of my car if it's karma, because I should be rewarded from the world from getting rid of that.
You'd have to call Industrial Light and Magic to make that happen.
It would have to be like in Animal House when the naked chick comes through the little boy's window and he's holding the Playboy and he goes, thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That's exactly what should happen to me.
I like five and four with thought and four.
Pause.
Oh, pause, yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, it's that time again to hear from Katie Couric.
Katie Couric's Notebook.
Hi, everyone. This is National Gay and Retarded Awareness Week, and for good reason. At least 8 million Americans suffer from bad gay sex, with the highest mortality rates of any retarded illness. I'd love that. 95% of those with iPods are lame and otherwise lowers, putting our kids at risk. So why are young people killing themselves to be gay? We do know there are retarded social and emotional factors, from low self-esteem to a culture that's obsessed with appearance. We also know that eating disorders affect teenage daughters and men. It's important for parents to send the right message. It's okay to have bad sex. Fathers, don't on your daughter's bodies. and mothers, oh, don't talk endlessly about your daughter's father's a lot. Let's hope that works. That's a page from my notebook. I'm Kitty Curran, CBS News.
Okay. The Don and Mike Show.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
That's so gay.
God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Which cheese do you prefer?
Okay, Alec Baldwin. Why don't we
pick up with Alec Baldwin now?
Hey, he had to do that pre-recorded mea culpa on the View today.
He went into the meat grinder.
The tag team. On one side, he's got Rosie O'Donnell. On the other side, he's got Barbara Walters. And, he sure does kiss a lot of ass, but he sure is good at damage control.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's an actor.
He's smart.
Nobody's going to be better.
You want to listen to him be really, really slick?
Yeah, because I didn't see it today, and I'd like to hear it.
And what I want to do is I want to leave this interview with you. I want to thank both of you for giving me this opportunity, and you especially, because I think you and I both know that whenever we have personal missteps in our lives, there's a lot of people that are out there that are ready to kind of lend their voice to the chorus to tear us down.
Aligning himself with Rosie.
Smart
move. Yeah. Slick.
I want to say that I'm sorry to anyone that was offended by what happened. I'm sad about the way it all played out. And I have a dream in my heart, deep in my heart, to go out this door today and do something else with my life. And to do this work, which is very meaningful to me. I have...
Please, you called your kid a name.
Yeah.
I'm going to walk out there. Masterful on his part.
Well, it's damage control.
It is... overkill damage control to the point that he could probably walk down the street without his pants on and walk into Chuck E. Cheese, mm-hmm. and people would give a standing ovation today.
Alec!
You're the man!
Way to go, Alec!
I want you to know I have tens of thousands of men contact me over the months who are victims of parental alienation. And if you think they're angry,
hold it right there.
This is the new one.
Because this is the look. I'm sure that this is out there, but it hasn't been out there for common knowledge.
And over the month,
parental alienation is a new. He's creating this new thing. Or he's publicizing this new thing.
Keep
right?
in mind, over the months,
right?
Men have been contacting him about
our new cause
about PA. That's exactly right.
PA, parental alienation,
or as I call it, PIA, pain in the ass,
or POA.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Voices of the women in their lives now. I get mail all the time from a woman who'll say, "My husband Bob is the most loving dad." And his ex-wife is a bleepin', 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 bleep, bleep, bleep. And she keeps Bob away from his kids. And I said to myself, this is what I want to do with my life now.
Well, let's just hope the most important thing is that your child...
Yes, and that's a part of it. I want to protect my relationship with my daughter.
That too.
Who I thought up until this moment, and everyone in my life who knows me knows, I have a great relationship with my daughter.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
First of all, I want to say, and you both know better than I do how this business works, I got a huge bouquet of flowers from Don Imus.
Always lead off with a killer joke, Alex.
Did you really?
And no.
Who said do you really, Rosie?
Barbara.
Duh.
Stupid Barbara.
Jesus.
My God, this goes on for 20 minutes. Just let me give you some of the selections.
Okay.
What I learned, part one. What I learned, part two. What I learned, part three. Self-loathing tabloid people. Number four. Parental alienation. We just heard that one. Pig and judge trouble. Lawyers are evil. Technology has changed this world. He gets it a book plug. Oh, hold on. Here's a good one.
Oh, I have my favorite picked out.
Can I play you the one about the weepy mom and the pumpkin?
As long as you play my favorite one.
Which is?
Lawyers are evil.
And then you have people like O'Reilly who hate you.
Oh, but first, this is about... Listen to how disjointed this one is.
All right.
What he's trying to say is that even though he's in the news, his mom is still talking to him about everyday events.
Okay.
And if you doubt for a minute this is calculated and slick, there's one point in an earlier cut when he says, "How much longer until we break?"
Because he knows he wants to work this.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And then you have people like O'Reilly who hate your politics, and that gives him a chance to talk.
He didn't hate my politics until we inadvertently brought up his scandal. And then he called the show.
What is that?
That's the wrong CD.
Oh, that's okay, we got so much of this. Okay.
No.
You haven't lost your sense of humor.
Exactly.
Number 11.
11.
If you're playing along at home, go to cut 11 now.
Cut 11 on your album.
And you know the person who's been the greatest to me? I say this to you, and I don't want to get emotional about this, but, you know, my mom is someone who I've had a very kind of on-again, off-again relationship, you know what I mean, when my dad was alive and my parents were getting separated.
If this guy could act like this in his movies, he'd be Tom Hanks.
Hey, he's great in The Cooler, though.
He's very good.
He's good in all of his movies.
Yeah, I like Alec Baldwin.
I'm a fan of Alec Baldwin, too. I just hate seeing a guy having to parade around like this.
He's doing a little groveling.
I mean, I know he's doing it out of his own accord.
Right.
But, my God.
And my mom has gone on to be reborn as this breast cancer advocate.
So, right, we're going to talk about the fact you called your daughter a pig, but let's bring in Mom, and let's mention that Mom has breast cancer.
Sure.
And, you know, my mom, who's had a bypass, and she had a stroke, and she has diabetes, and she had breast cancer.
Oh, my, she's had the myriad. What does that have to do with your child, though, Alec?
Royal flush.
She's been very ill, but she's 78 years old, and my mother, who suffered all these things, I wish I could play you that voicemail, but she left me yesterday.
Mm.
And my mom called me on the phone.
Oh, the tears, the waterworks.
I hope he doesn't start crying.
He is. He's emotional.
Like
here.
Greg Wilson. And she said to me, I'm going to go outside today and I'm going to plant pumpkin seeds because I want to grow the biggest pumpkin for us to have at the house. And I mean, she just started talking about all this nonsense. But the point was, is that she wasn't talking about this. She was talking about life. And what do we do with the rest of our lives? And how do you go out the door and enjoy your life?
Okay. See what I mean?
You picked the right guy.
What a bunch of crap. But I'll give him credit. It's really good crap.
The best.
And he really thought about it. He really laid it on.
Yeah.
I thought...
You know, and I have to agree with Barbara when she asked him at that one point. You know, everybody's thinking about the kid.
Right.
They really, really are. They're not thinking about you. They're not thinking, and I don't think he gets it. I swear to God, I didn't think he got it the first time. And what he's doing right now is he's doing the damage control tour. But if you're going on this damage control, what people reacted to was the fact that you called your kid a name.
Right.
Say, you know.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Yeah, but obviously he hasn't had contact with his daughter, so he really can't address that right now. He can't address how it is. Right?
It's embarrassing, and it's brilliant. That's all I can say. It's emaciating. It makes him less than a man.
It's emaciating.
Emasculating. I always get those.
Speaking of that, though, has he lost weight?
No.
No.
Is he as big as ever?
He could have had the robe on.
Oh, really?
That he had on the Sharon Osbourne show.
The stress, you know.
I always get that mixed up. Emaciated is when you're losing weight, and the other one is when you are less than a man.
Emasculated. Well, look who he's sitting in between.
Yeah, but he's doing a masterful job of playing them, though.
He is.
So, you know, I'm torn.
Yeah.
Does this suck, or is he more brilliant than we really
know?
Well,
I think it's he's working. He's working. There's no doubt about it.
And what I want to do is I want to leave this interview with you.
Oh.
I want to thank both of you for giving me this opportunity. And you especially, because I think you both...
Although we heard that one.
Yeah, where's the one about the lawyers, cut number 8?
I will tell you that he, before this had even happened, had written a book about divorce and parental, whatever he called it.
I thought for sure, excuse me, that when we talked about this yesterday, he was going to be cut open and just paraded out like he was a body on CSI.
Seemed likely.
And look how he turned it around.
Yeah. Right.
Another thing that he mentioned that I enjoyed is, you know how all these men contacted him? At alecbaldwin.com. He mentions that as well.
Sure.
I was given my daughter. I had two blissful weeks with my daughter. And I'm not talking about the Disney dad syndrome where it's taking her shopping and going to dinner. And this. I mean, I'm making the kid toast. I'm doing her homework. I'm standing in a room and the phone rings and she says, I forgot my ballet shoes. Will you go get the ballet shoes for me? And I'm sitting there going, will I go get the ballet shoes for you? You bet I'll go get the ballet shoes. That's why I'm here. It was just great. The mother comes home.
The mother.
And the phone gets turned off. And I don't speak to the child again for 10 days. And what you learn in parental alienation is that affection for the alienated parent or loyalty to the alienated parent is portrayed as betrayal of the custodial parent.
He's really thought about that.
God damn, he got like the world's biggest dictionary, didn't he?
He's smart. He's a smart guy. Very intelligent.
Well, what he's dealing with is, you know, he's dealing with the fight with Kim Basinger. That's what the whole deal is.
Got more to
they,
say, though.
They hate each other.
And that parent communicates in very subtle and not so subtle terms that this person is not a part of my life and I don't want anything to do with them and I don't want you to either. And they violate court orders and they force you to keep this thing going. And this is why, and this is the last thing I'll say about this, is why I would sit in rooms years ago when this process began for me and men would look at me and the tears would well up in their eyes. And
I'm sorry. He's so full of crap. I mean, is there any guy listening to this not going, this is 100% calculated?
Well, you know what you're hearing. You're hearing a War of the Roses that's playing out on the national stage.
I
and you're hearing
that.
He's spinning this thing any way he can. And you know what I'm hearing is a guy that really has to do a little self-analysis here. I mean, he really did. Everybody's, you know, parental alienation, PA, I guess it is a thing. And I'm sure it happens. I'm sure it happens. But you know what? There's a process you go through where, and I will tell you this, that most of the time they go with motherhood. And the mother gets custody of the kids. That's just the way it is in our society. That's the way it works. If you have World War III with the with your ex-wife, you're going to go through this probably because you're making it so unpleasant. You're both fighting so much. You're both so selfish that, you know, they're going to use the kids as pawns. And they're both guilty.
All you do is call the kid a pig.
Right. Yeah, but he's saying did that because of the whole thing that he couldn't see his kid.
It's an incredible amount of BS to get through to just say, well, listen, he's brilliant. I mean, I understand what he's saying. He just, you know, if it was me, I'd just say, hey, call her a pig. Get over it. You know,
yeah,
but that's right, why I'm being.
Well, they fought over custody, right? That's the whole thing. They've had a custody battle.
Hold on, but there's more to this.
Who love their children, and prior to their divorce, no one had doubted that they loved their children. But once these lawyers dragged them into this process, they went through this thing, and they wrote off those children, and they wrote off that family. I look at a guy and I'd say, Bob, where are you now? He says, I'm remarried. I have a wonderful wife, and I have two kids. And I never see my kids from my first marriage. He says, I had to write it off.
That's a tragic thing.
And that's what's happened, you know. So that's what happens to a lot of people.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back.
How slick is he? God, I can smell his aftershave.
Sure.
Through the radio, I
He's getting the job done.
He's doing what he's got to do. Doing what he's got to do.
Absolutely. You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
God, what did the guy do that was so bad? Jesus Christ.
Like I said before, has anybody ever thought maybe the kid deserved it?
She wouldn't listen.
Right. I mean, yeah, come on.
It's words. It's words.
Actually, he has said that. But it is just words, and sometimes people get mad, and he got mad at the wrong person, big deal, move on. He has said that, but he's also cashed in on this opportunity to push his cause.
Yeah. Goddamn, he's slick. He's cool, isn't he?
Slicky boy.
Women like him, and men like to be like him.
Uh-huh. Not at the Clooney level, though.
Oh, no.
There was a day, though, that Alec Baldwin was in that category.
Yeah. It's right
Shut your mouth!
It's right after he married Kim Basinger.
Shut your mouth! Don't you ever talk that way.
You mean comparing ever. Alec Baldwin to Clooney? I should point out, m'lady, that there was a time when you actually had more quan for Alec Baldwin than any other living actor.
Let me tell you something, my lord.
Yes.
That was strictly based on acting ability.
I thought it was the whole package, old sport.
Had nothing to do with the cut of a man's jeans. I am God. I am God. That's why I like Alec Baldwin.
Right.
It's the only impression I can do. I am God. There you go. There's my repertoire. Isn't it brilliant?
Thanks. Bravo.
No.
Bravo.
I love George Clooney because he's God, Clooney.
He's Clooney. We don't. And where's Clooney been lately?
Who cares? You know he's been on Planet Fantastic.
You know where he's been.
That's where he's been.
You know where he's been.
You're
on your mind.
In his dreams and everywhere.
I am God.
There he is.
Oh, Okay, bye-bye. See you later. Okay, Al's forgiven. You went on The View. Alec, here's your life back.
He's absolved now that he's gone on The View.
We got a break. We'll continue this in a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
This is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report. When I came into office, I made a promise to the people that I will make government spend more money than we have and raise property taxes. It isn't enough spending unless it is overspending. I want to thank all of you for everything that you've done to bring California bankruptcy. Now it's the time for the legislators to do what is best for California. Rack up billions of dollars in new debt. Thank you for listening.
Dead.
A lot of those taste like they're fake.
I love that movie, Dawn of the Dead.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
Hi, this is Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger with another California report. This week, I want to talk to you about sex crimes, but I am a convicted sex offender. I joined these sexual predators, teaching them to lure children into sex crimes. I'm tipping the scale of justice in favor of the violators, not the victims, period. Thank you very much for listening.
Tipping the scale.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
He's a jackass.
It's the BME Award-winning Don and Mike Show.
Don't never, ever trust Whitey.
Right. What's happening here? Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey there.
Hey, hi.
How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Am I kicking a dead horse if I talk about Alex Baldwin?
Alex Baldwin. No, it's and you're out for calling him Alex. Mm. And you would be kicking a dead horse if you kicked Barbaro. I would be remiss if I did not mention they're having a party. Is it? Where do they have the Kentucky Derby? In Louisville?
I think it's Louisville.
I don't know, wherever you're, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Louisville.
Wherever he ended up. They're having a giant party for Barbaro this weekend.
Oh. Are they really?
Where people are going and paying all kinds of money to sit at a racetrack and think about him.
Like a little memorial service,
yes,
for him.
And you know how you have the Lance Armstrong, Live Strong?
Yep.
The yellow bracelets. Now you can buy Barbaro bracelets.
Oh. Wow.
That hasn't gone too
far. And he's not around to enjoy it.
Yeah,
isn't that a shame?
He's a dead horse.
You know, I'd like to revisit the Alec Baldwin thing. You know, you've got the guy from the Yankees, A-Rod.
Mm-hmm.
You got to call Alec Baldwin A-Ball. A-Ball. I'm really sorry A-Ball's going through it right now. That's a drag.
A-Ball.
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 A-Ball. Hang in there, A-Ball.
I am God. I know a guy who could be named A-Ball. Let me turn the mics off for a moment.
Don knows a guy who could be called Abel. You figure it out.
You got me with that one. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's true. I was saying, who do you know?
You know? I mean, I knew somebody named Triball.
One guy, Abel.
One guy.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
One man.
Hello. What's up?
Turn your radio down, please.
And he did.
Yeah, never mind. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello there.
Hello there.
It is Alec Baldwin. I understand that.
I thought I hung up on you already. Get out of here.
Bye.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Stop it. Hello, Don and Mike Show. He stayed on the line, Rob. It's my fault. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys are going to make an appearance at the Asparagus Festival here in Stockton.
Is it this weekend?
Yes. This is the weekend.
Are you leaving Saturday night? Are you leaving Saturday night or Sunday morning?
I'm leaving Sunday morning because I'm going to watch you at the Nationals game Saturday night.
Okay, so you're going to be staying for the whole game.
And then I'm catching that fantastic nonstop flight.
Right.
From Dulles International to Sacramento.
To Sacramento.
You know, the one that runs eight times a day.
I've got a late Saturday flight. I'm going to be leaving about midway through the game because I'm going to be actually taking the Saturday night flight.
Red eye.
Yeah. I just didn't want to go overnight with the kids and all. The kids are coming, too.
But the thing is...
We'll be eating asparagus all the way across the country.
About traveling to Sacramento,
Cool.
There's not an easier place to get to from anywhere in America. Would you not agree?
Well, you know what they call Sacramento? They call Sacramento California's hub.
Right. I take the shuttle.
The shuttle, the Sacramento shuttle?
The shuttle from Washington, D.C. to Sacramento.
Every hour on the half hour. How long has that been in existence? Who runs it now? Bitter Air? Bitter Air, I think, is opening that one.
I sure am sorry to hear the Kings are moving. Man, I'm sad about that.
Yeah, but they're gonna, I understand they're going to get new uniforms when they get to Vegas.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Okay. Oh, that reminds me.
Huh?
If Robert De Niro is listening, if Robert Mailman is listening.
Is he back from Bangkok?
I think he is. I'm ready to make a bet, if you want, on the Heat Bulls series.
Ooh.
The Miami Heat is down 2-0 to the Baby Bulls.
Do you think the Heat are going to come back?
I love Shaq. Yes, I do.
Hey, that's a good bet. He'd take that bet, I bet.
I'm talking about the entire series, not just tonight. I think it's right. A given.
You think the Heat are going to come back and beat the Bulls?
You're goddamn right I do.
Wow.
I truly do.
That's a good bet for Robert.
I truly do.
Oops. Well, Robbie? He phoned me this morning on my cellular telephone. He is back. He has offered to come in a week from today wearing one of his new Bangkok suits.
Right. Good.
Well, Robert, if you're out there, give me a ring.
That's a pretty good bet.
Or text me. Text me your reply.
Now, is that a straight-up bet?
I just think that, yeah, that...
That's like spotting a guy two games.
Miami's going to win the series.
That's a good bet.
Don't say Robert and spotting.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Take the bad picture.
Sorry about that.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, you big tease. What are you guys doing?
Big tease? Why are we a big tease?
I don't know.
Are you a big idiot? What can we do for you?
I'm calling from Sacramento.
Shocker.
Bye!
Sorry about your team. Hello, Don.
Have fun at the festival.
Hello.
Hello, Don. I was wondering if Don and Mike could call Gary Shandling's new face on the Daily Show.
Yes, Don and Mike did, and they had really funny things to say about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was going to be the famous Joe Ottinger answering the phone.
Phone. That was your phone.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You know.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Mike showing me a picture. What magazine is Gary Shandling?
I stole this. This is Buzz's Details magazine.
Playgirl.
Details. His gay magazine.
That's right.
Small Wangs Monthly.
One of my gay
what?
Magazines. Small Wangs Monthly.
Small Wangs Monthly.
Excuse me, are you interjecting yourself into this conversation?
Let me think. Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. No, wait, I'm not sorry.
Well, now you're on.
I like you. You got moxie, but now back it up, kid. Right.
Go ahead. Pressure's on, son.
I had moxie, but
Sorry, you lost it.
Mm-hmm.
You had the chance.
This is what I'm talking about with Gary Shandling right here.
Photograph.
I mean, he's an older guy. I'm surprised he's got the bumps.
Weren't we just discussing him the other day?
We were discussing his face from when he was on Letterman.
Yeah, his lips and everything else.
Very strange.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi there.
Hey, so, Don, you coming to Sacramento?
Yes, we are all going to be there this weekend.
Oh, the whole crew? I didn't know. I thought it was just you and me.
No, Mike. Everybody.
You guys $100.
Everybody's flying out on my Gulfstream this weekend.
Well, we're not going to be able to take care of that this weekend, but we will contact us by mail about that, okay?
Well,
yep. No, please do.
Works.
No. It's no. Well, you have to do it that way.
If we owe you money,
well, you still got
to. No, I don't want to talk about it. No,
contact us via mail,
tell
please.
Us to the post office
if you owe us money. Put you on the list of creditors. We're going to have someone call our radio shows that we owe them money.
We owe them $100.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Friday, weekend's here. My buddies and I are having a card game tonight, and we want to know what's kind of a really good card game to play.
Well, let me tell you what.
Uno.
You know, that hurt. I was actually going to.
And it's a repeat.
I was going to discuss cards with him, and didn't we cover all of that? Didn't we have Uno yesterday?
Yeah, we had Uno yesterday. We had a lot of variations on that yesterday.
I even stole on that with Pizzeria Uno.
Very, very frustrating. That's a 24-hour violation, in my opinion.
Hey, Yanni, how long till this baseball guy calls in? 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
5 minutes. Thank you. Guy's name is Stan Kasten.
Kasten.
I'm sorry. Excuse
President
me.
Of the Nationals.
Right. A guy who, if I'm not mistaken, might put the Atlanta Braves together.
Yeah, I think that's his backstory, that he was instrumental in putting that great organization together.
Well, anyway, when we get him on the phone, we're going to ask him how it is that he decided to select Mike to sing the national anthem. And how the national players feel about Mike singing the
interview. Oh, I didn't know that that's the direction of the interview. I'm fascinated. I'll be
They're going to ask him about, like, the stupid team, like, hey, how are things looking at third base this year? No, the whole point of having him on the show
is all about me singing the anthem. And,
of course.
But that's a very interesting angle that you're going to find out what the players think.
Right.
The players are all, well, there was a bit of a boycott, but they decided to play anyway.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello.
You guys were talking about the stadium in Arizona earlier?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they were looking for a sponsor, and a restaurant in Vegas called the Pink Taco was going to be their sponsor, and they got rejected.
That is a fact. Before it became University of Phoenix Stadium, they did I think the Pink Taco place offered some ridiculous figure, like $60 or $70 million, and they had to go through the mindset of every time there was a game there going, you are looking live at Pink Taco Field.
I don't understand.
Man,
what kind of meat would they put in a taco to make it a pink taco?
I got to turn the microphones off again for a second.
We're now discussing a stadium in Arizona that was nearly named after a restaurant or perhaps a local chain of restaurants.
That was one of those times where Don didn't need to turn the microphones off, but it was funny.
I'm going to turn them off one more time, though.
Can I tell you one?
Sure.
Some people think that there's another meaning for the name of that popular restaurant in Arizona. The Mexican restaurant.
Okay.
Oh, excuse me. I'm so sorry I offended your sensibilities.
You take something beautiful, Mike.
Right.
And you turn it into some ugly, abstract painting.
That's a quality joke.
You know what?
That is a quality joke.
If left to you, the average woman's private area would look like a Picasso painting.
All disjointed.
There'd be like an elbow poking through.
Everything where it's not supposed to be.
Hi there, Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey. Hey is for horses.
Hey, that was a Paulie Walnuts laugh.
and Robbie, what's the end of that? It's hay is for horses. Something is for something.
Taco.
Doesn't anybody remember that
saying?
Putting
on the Ritz.
I don't remember anything beyond hay is for horses.
Oh, no, it was something like hay is for horses.
Hay is for horses. Why don't you make like a tree and leave?
No, and it was something is like...
IP Daily.
And something is for people.
Oh, rubber balls and like...
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, it's you.
It's our standard greeting. Hello.
I wanted to ask Mike how he thought about doing the national anthem when a lot of other people would have thought that maybe Mark Cutback Davis or Bob Jungle Death Jr. would be a better choice.
Those guys are fags! I still love doing
that. Thank you. We love that setup.
If it's the same guy that sets us up with that, he waits the proper amount of time every single time he does that.
He's a winner every time.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, you mentioned Dennis Murphy owning your presence.
Yeah.
He owes you five, not three, since 2002.
I thought so.
5 years worth of Christmas gifts.
Wow, well, he's not getting a ticket to that game.
When is Idol giving back to us, Mike?
Dennis Murphy gives back.
Oh, here we go, Mike. Joining us now is the president of...
Stan Kasten.
...of the Washington Nationals. Hey, Stan.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you, Stan? Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, my pleasure.
Very nice to meet you, sir. Of course, we love the Washington Nationals, but baseball's back in D.C. I won't bore you with all the stuff telling you how... I'm a National League guy, even though I'm not really into baseball like Mike. It's a hustling league. Let's all go National League. Boo, American League. Mike.
Yes, Don, are you asking me something? We've got Mr. Kasten on the line here. What do you
Mike have? Would like to know how his singing the national anthem will influence...
I would like to know. You're asking questions for me now.
Mike would like to know how his singing the national anthem, you think, will either positively or negatively influence the Nationals in their game tomorrow night against the Mets.
Oh, I think we're all going to take it as a real moment of inspiration because you know it's a devilishly difficult song, and we have so much... respect for anyone attempting this in front of 30,000 people.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and we've seen the ignominy that Carl Lewis and Roseanne Barr had to live with after not executing it flawlessly.
Oh, no.
So the fact that you would go out there and attempt it is just a real inspiration to all of us.
Well, Stan, I appreciate that, and it seems that you're aware of the reality of the situation with
Mike,
those comments.
Mike, there's no need to keep passing me these questions. Stan, Mike would also like to know...
Well, yeah, let me pass you another question.
Mike would like to know how excited you are personally that Mike is coming to sing the anthem tomorrow night.
Well, as I said, I would have given anything as I look back on history if I could have been there for Carl Lewis's rendition or for Roseanne Barr's. And tomorrow we have an opportunity to maybe all be a part of another great chapter in history.
Now, you know, Stan, I am curious about one thing, the dress code. I would say a kilt would be out of the question, right? You wouldn't want to see that. Is there any particular, you know, you're the president of the team. I'm asking you personally, what would you like to see me wear?
Well, I'll answer that question, but I should point out to you that in retrospect, no one remembers what Carl Lewis or Roseanne Barr were wearing.
That's true.
So it doesn't really matter what you wear.
Okay.
They're all going to focus on how you do.
All right. Well, then I think what I've got in mind is a kind of a pastel blue tuxedo that I'll be wearing tomorrow.
Oh, perfect. Well, yeah, let's make it disco night. That'll be fantastic.
and of course, a suitable hairpiece for that. I'll wear a wig.
Cool. Mike also would like to know if there's any chance that all at once, all of the players, as soon as the song is over, could all spit sunflower seeds at him.
Yeah. Or break up laughing hysterically.
Well, I'm going to do the very best I can, Stan. I really am, and I hope it's a good luck omen for the team against the Mets tomorrow.
Mike, what we're afraid of is that all you're going to do is the best you can. That's
all right, I'm going to come out of myself, and it's going to be an inspirational performance for everybody. It's going to be wonderful.
Stan, listen, we'll let you get back to what you're doing. We'll see you tomorrow night.
That'll be great, guys. I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Stan.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. President of the Washington Nationals.
He had to bring up the Roseanne thing, you know. And was Carl Lewis the forgetting of the lyrics?
Yep.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
It's my greatest fear.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the lyrics, but it's the pressure that might, you know, cause those lyrics to momentarily leave the brain.
Yeah. Well, he wants you to relax, clearly. Well,
obviously, he's not putting any pressure on me at all.
Are we getting free jerseys with our names on them? Real ones. None of those fake, cheap ones. Real ones. Like the time that the Orioles got mad at us? And then they sent over those jerseys with our names and the stupid frequency of the radio station on the back of them.
If I get the jersey before the game, I'm not going to wear it doing the anthem. I don't think, because that's like...
That'd be cool.
Isn't that jive, though?
No. It's like it makes you super fan.
It's a tribute, really.
If you got the national thing, it's like O'Mara number one on the back of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I was really... What I had planned, really put a great deal of thought into this. And you familiar with the seersucker suit?
Oh, nice.
Summer. Yeah, but here's the catch. It's supposed to be
what Matlock used to wear?
Yes.
Yes. It's an in-between temperature tomorrow night. But I still think it's summertime.
Oh,
it's baseball.
Yeah.
So it's the seersucker suit with nothing underneath.
Oh.
With just me.
My way.
And cleats?
And a medallion.
Cleats?
And cleats. Nike cleats.
Spikes.
Spikes. Black.
That spikes.
Black Nike spikes. That's what I'm going to put on there. Well, he's thrown down the gauntlet. I've got to do better. Than my best. I've got to do better than my best.
Better than your supposed best.
And I'm just determining right now how many cocktails that'll require.
No, of course not. That would be disrespectful. I will be drinking heavily after.
It would not be. I bet you have a shot before.
I don't think so.
Just a quick one just to calm your nerves.
Here's the deal. I felt more nervous before the Potomac Nationals game. Now, it's probably going to hit me when I get there.
When he said 30,000 people.
Yeah, but in a way, it's like you're further away from them. You know what I mean?
I
you know how
that,
when we did that Potomac Nationals, it was like, really, people could pick their nose and flick it on me.
For what it's worth, Mike, I've spent some time on some stage.
I urge everyone to do that tomorrow night as well.
Pick your nose and flick
it on me. You know, I've had tremendous failures in major sporting events. You remember when Rob and I had the slap shot contest and you beat me?
Yeah.
And I was the hockey player?
This doesn't have anything to do with your athletic ability.
No.
This is your ability as a trained...
Performer. Yes.
Two beers. Three is too many.
Mm-hmm.
One is not enough.
Now,
what
were you going to say about the stadium PA?
One hard drink.
That's exactly what I would have before I would do the stuff I did.
Okay.
I would do one shot.
One shot. Okay.
That's like having a beer.
Then I'll go to the concession stand that sells the shots of hard liquor.
Well, I'm bringing liquor in. I'm bringing that thing.
Your flask?
Oh, you're going to bring flask? Does it look like binoculars?
Aren't you bringing in the body bladder?
Yeah, that's what it is. The thing that my kid,
it's the bladder.
The thing that my kid uses in a football game down at Clemson. We put this amazing thing inside your pants, and then during the game, you unzip your pants, and the little nozzle comes out, and you just fill your glass up with.
What I'll have is the construction helmet with the two beer holders on it.
Perfect.
And then, of course, I will tastefully remove it prior to singing, and then put it back on.
And remember what we discussed, Buzz.
Right.
Tomorrow, me and you, no marijuana cigarettes.
Well, until afterward.
That's not allowed in the Stadium Bowl.
Oh, Mike, we are going to love watching you sing the National Anthem tomorrow night.
And then, as I said before, I said this yesterday, when I get done singing the song, that's when I will burst into tears and run over to you behind home plate. I'll be there for you. Outstretched arms and just, you know. And maybe we can arrange it so that you could, like, hop over the wall.
I've asked for them to play over the loudspeakers. I've had the time of my life.
Oh, I got a better one for fever pitch.
Yeah.
Maybe we could arrange it to have you out in maybe the bullpen or out in center field so that after I finish, I run from home plate and we meet at about second base.
Embracing.
I think that would be a special moment. Oh, they got to play the game, though. But you could go around the outside.
And we have our Borat moment.
Yeah. Then we start wrestling naked.
On the mound.
I mean, I know this is your gig and I totally support it. I'm glad to go.
Uh-huh.
Really? Can I get some free stuff, though, if the Nationals are listening?
I'll bet you can.
Yeah.
None of the cheap stuff that fans buy.
No, I think
the real stuff.
Probably get you want a real hat? Nice.
Hat? Hell, I want the outfit, Mike. You know me.
Pants?
Give me the uniform.
You want the whole uniform?
I want the pants.
You get it, will you wear it?
I'd wear it to church.
Wear it in here on Monday.
You will.
Of course I will.
You will.
Because there's nothing that used to bring me greater joy when you were a passionate baseball fan than when you would deck yourself out in a full Cubs uniform.
Did I tell you what Jenna got me on eBay?
What's that?
Pair of, I should wear them in someday. Actual Green Bay Packer football pants.
Hey. Please do wear them in.
Please wear them in.
Wear them like for all your daytime activities.
Thank you.
And then we will wait for the truck with the men with the butterfly net in it.
You should have seen me pulling these things out of the box going, only $49. God, this is like the find of a lifetime.
Without pads, right?
Yeah, without pads.
Without the thigh pads and the knee pads.
But it's the thing, it's got the...
You look like a kicker.
Look like a fat kicker.
A fat kicker, you Tom Dempsey.
Incidentally, if you really want a flattering look at yourself, put on a pair of real tight football pants and lace them up all the way and then do the belt and then go look at yourself in the mirror.
So you may bring those in one day?
Yeah, I might.
You disappointed us on the Batman outfit.
Yeah.
You know, the cowl.
I love
so maybe you could bring in the...
Perhaps.
I'd like to see that.
I'll dress up for you sometimes.
All right, that's good.
I'll put on one of my suits.
Good.
Maybe I'll put on a Star Trek suit. Go retro on your ass.
You have you know what you have under your eye? Oh, you know what it is? It's CD stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
A sliver?
Shards of CD almost got in your eye.
Oh, it's my makeup.
It's your sparkly makeup.
Sparkly makeup.
Actually, the outfit that I will be wearing for the game Saturday will be, I don't know if you're familiar with a fantastic British comedian, Dame Edna.
Oh.
I'll be wearing my Dame Edna outfit. Hello, possums.
You want to talk about helping out charity?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how much I would donate to your favorite charity if you came out tomorrow night dressed as a woman?
As a woman. Yeah, it's a shame that charity's going to miss out.
At least double what you gave to the American Idol.
Okay. Consider it done. Jesus.
You didn't even do your fake, hold on, let me think of it. That's a good idea. No.
No, I was too nervous about it. I was too nervous about the reality of it.
Really thinking about it.
And that's what I will do at the end.
We're all counting on that, Mike.
I'm going to do it if they don't cut my microphone off.
You're right.
And the land and the home
of the brave. Okay. If it's that much time.
Uh-huh.
You know, if they're not, like, whisking me off the field at that point.
The Washington Nationals had to forfeit their game tonight against the New York Mets after this man made a travesty of the national anthem.
No, not going to happen. No. No way.
This man wearing a dress identified only as...
Wearing a dress.
Identified only as... Dame O'Mara.
Dame Edna O'Mara.
Hello, possums.
Oh, I love Dame Edna. Love me to Dame Edna. I think I'm the only one on the show.
I think so.
I love Dame Edna.
Who would you do?
Well, Dame Edna is a man.
No, hold on. I know I'm going to hold on.
All right.
He's a man, baby.
So.
Who would you do? Dame Edna as a man, as a woman?
As a real woman.
Wait, no, as she, when he's dressed up like, or John Travolta. when he's dressed up for the movie Hairspray. Have you seen John Travolta as a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah, which would you do?
Well, just based on age, I'd do John Travolta. Because Dame Edna's like 70.
Yeah.
In real life. The man that plays Dame Edna is 70 years old.
You disappointed him somehow.
No, I'm thinking about it. I'm really thinking.
Are you thinking you might do Dame Edna simply because more experience wearing all the...
Yeah.
Probably better powdered.
Somehow it wouldn't feel as gay.
Right.
The Deutsch.
Yeah, because it would be John Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, who's another famous guy in drag?
Boy, still alive. Who's that? Eddie Izzard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a good one. Okay, Izzard. I do him before I would do Dame Edna.
I'd do him before Dame Edna. Use protection. What are we doing here?
What do you mean? We're having a...
We're having a
homoerotic discussion.
Like any other day. I'm trying to think of somebody else.
I just like to point
Martin
out.
Lawrence as Big Mama.
Big Mama.
Or John Travolta.
Well, Martin Lawrence, once you have black, you never go back.
This is true.
If you go back a few years, you could do the show Bosom Buddies, Tom Hanks or Peter Scolari.
It's still on.
Thanks, Rob. Just killed off a really funny riff.
Jesus. You can poured water all over that one.
You can do it, boy.
And it's because he's referencing his pop culture out of his Rolodex that he has to spew out. He can't keep it inside because
it bounces around.
He'll break a blood vessel in his eye if he keeps that in his
brain. I wanted to give each of you a chance to say you wanted to make love to Tom Hanks. That's all.
Also dressing like a woman, B. Arthur.
With her long sweater.
Right.
I just want to give you the same treatment as I would give Rob.
Okay.
I didn't want Rob to feel bad. You know,
I'm
still
okay
with that. Here's the thing. If you have two children and one of them does something really stupid and you just slap him and you say, you dumb moron, then the other kid does it. You just look at him like, oh, that's Buzz. He's a nice boy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes
you want to balance it out a little bit.
You got to treat them both the same way.
Right. Make the youngest feel better.
Yeah.
So we're not both going to get hit? I'm lost.
No, you're not. We got to do this. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
Our first guest is a sports legend, both on and off the field. He's been the NFL's premier color commentator for more than 25 years and recently was inducted into the Professional Pro Football Hall of Fame. Ladies and gentlemen, here's John Madden. John, come on up.
It's Frank Caliendo.
Good to have you on the show. Nice to see you. How are things going?
Pretty good, Dave. I mean, there's a lot of places you could be, but I mean, anytime you're at a place like this, you think, I mean, things start to get, you want to be in a funny place, and this is one of those funny places. And if for another place, and it's not as funny, you think, but I mean, why am I that place? What I wanted to be was in a funny place, and boom, I'm in it right now, Dave.
Come and lick the dot of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
I know it's not fashionable anymore to say the word ho. I know I say whore.
Hua.
As we welcome Frank Caliendo.
Hi, Frank.
Hold on, Mike, before we get him on, I want to tell you.
Oh, all right.
Before you can hear us, why I want to tell you why he's a whore.
Why is he a hua? And I like to use the Sopranos vernacular.
Hua.
Hua.
Well, you know, he's great. We love him. He's very funny.
Of course.
He only comes on the show when he really's got to push and whore at something. Let me see. He's on Letterman tonight.
Right. Good. That's it. So it's good timing to have him on the show today.
Andy Dick's on tonight as well. Mm-hmm. Be a good episode.
That'll be a funny show.
He's on Craig Ferguson Monday night. And let me see. He would like for our audience in this segment to sell out two separate concert dates.
Okay.
They can do it.
He will be in Sacramento, California at the Crest Theater on May 12th.
Wait, Crest as in the toothpaste?
Yeah.
Something that they don't use out there. And he will be here in D.C. at the Improv on July 18th and 19th.
Wonderful.
And Frank contacted Rob and said he would like to come on the show. And he would like to whore out those four separate events.
Well, fine. Why not? I mean, we're here to serve, right?
Here he is. Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
Here he is, the very busy Frank Caliendo.
Hi, Frank.
We love Frank. We love it. We don't mind whoring out his
events. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well.
Frank, no, I don't know if you heard that. That was said with love. We love whoring out your events.
I have no problem with you making fun of me for that.
Well, you know, you're a working comedian, Frank. You got to do what you got to do.
We love you. We'll watch you on Letterman tonight. Watch you on Craig Ferguson Monday.
Is the goal to sell out these two shows today on the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I attribute a lot of my success in D.C. to you guys. I mean, I'm in July is when I'm there next. I'm just doing a Wednesday and Thursday, and there are two shows essentially sold out already. I'm only doing four shows. It's the middle of July that I'm doing it.
Wow. That's fine. Then, I mean, that'll be easy to sell out the other two.
So let's get this done before the end of this commercial.
And Sacramento, I would say Sacramento is already sold out. I believe that. That is our power in that city. I believe it's already sold out.
Yes.
I think we could do this to impress Frank, not that we get anything out of it, but I bet that we could sell out these shows before the end of the show today for sure.
I guarantee we could.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I want you to, here. I challenge you.
you whore! You're the whore of whores.
Wow, this is starting to sound like a telethon.
Go ahead and challenge.
I challenge you. here's a guy whoring it out more than anything he could ever whore out himself.
Now the Crest Theater, Frank. How many people are we talking about for that one?
It's about 1,000. I think there's like 700 already there, so there's only a couple weeks left, and most of the tickets are gone already. So.
Well, listen, Frank is great, and you really do want to see him. May 12th, Sacramento, Crest Theater, D.C. at the Improv on July 18th and 19th. We'll have information on our website. Let's see if we can sell that stuff out today. I saw the ad already because Letterman tapes in advance for Friday. That tonight you're coming on his show as George Bush, right?
Oh yeah, did they show some of it or?
Yeah, that's the thing that's weird about Letterman. When they tape in advance, it was like this morning, before Montel Williams came on, they ran the ad going tonight on Dave, Andy Dick, and President Bush.
So is it another one, Frank? Where did you get your props this time, or are you President Bush and only President Bush?
Well, they announced me throughout the show as Frank Caliendo coming on, and then we did a fake via satellite thing. So it was like, and I don't know how he transitioned to it, because I was like upstairs in the balcony behind all the people on a green screen just waiting for him to come to me. And I actually couldn't tell if it was going great or if it was going really, really bad, because Dave is laughing like through it, like, like it's almost like he thinks it's going so bad he's just laughing at it.
No, I disagree. I think he really digs you. I think
he doesn't fake it. I don't think he fakes the laughter. I think he
had fun. I mean, it's so much. I had originally planned. He said, "You haven't been on the show for a while. What have you been doing?" And then the joke I'd originally written to come back with that was like, "I've been busy, you know, running the universe and working on my MySpace page." And he didn't want to do the MySpace joke. I don't know why, but he just didn't want to do it. So then I just got that information right before we taped, and I was like, "Oh, really?" So then I goes, he comes to me, and I have no idea what to say. I'm like, "Hi, Dave, how are you?" You know, just staring into oblivion.
So it's getting to the point now. I mean, you're coming on as John Madden, you're coming on as George Bush, but you're getting some regular visits with Letterman. You know, it's almost time for them to give you your own office.
Yeah, well, they've already told me that I'm coming on before my show premieres for TBS in the fall.
Oh,
they're bringing me on as myself, you know, just to hang out. But it's kind of cool to be kind of like Letterman's pool boy, you know?
Sure.
I'm his television pool boy. And I don't mind that, because, you know, if Letterman gets a kick out of you, I never expected anything like that. And it's just been really great to be a part of that. Now, before I go on, I've been analyzing what I say ever since I was on with you guys last, because you had a listener email me. I don't think you did, but one of your listeners did email me saying, "I say you know all the time."
Do you really?
It's annoying.
No, we're usually very aware of verbal crutches on the show. I mean, James Brown.
He emailed me saying, "You say you know every time you don't know what," and I what to say, and I go, I do, and then I realize I am saying that constantly, and now that's all I hear anybody say.
You know, wow. Do you ever watch the show American Chopper?
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay,
you're not nearly as bad as the Tuttles.
The Tuttles, for instance, Paul Jr., every single vignette goes, "You know, we were going to make a bike for Frank, and then we found out that he's really a funny guy. So, you know, we ended up having
they really time together." They start a lot of their segments when they have to do the narration. They start a lot of them with "you know." Almost exclusively.
You know.
You know.
Actually, I didn't even do that on purpose. The that's a great way to start. If you're reading from a script, you know, and then to go into it is actually an easy way to go to just sound natural. If you can't get it to sound natural, you're supposed to think in your mind, you know, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh,
and then
okay.
And then it flows. So
it's a simple actor's trick.
He might just be so bad, you know. There I did. Dang it!
Frank, here's two questions for you about Letterman, if you don't mind. First, like, when you've got your joke, your MySpace joke, when they come to you right before the show and they say, for whatever reason, Dave doesn't think you should do that, how often does that, is he that involved that he looks at the material and goes, you know, ah, yes, no, yes, no? Has that happened to you before?
Yes. But I have the explanation for you, because the producer that was on it told me about it. He said that Dave wanted it to seem more organic and real instead of and less jokey joke kind of things that President Bush would never say. Wow. So I still forced a couple things in there because I just wasn't sure what to talk about it.
I would imagine, Frank, that's probably not what you want to hear immediately before going on the air, right?
No, honestly, it was a little bit hard, but what am I going to do?
That's true. Right.
I really want to be on that show, and it's really cool to be a part of it.
And he likes to riff a little bit, doesn't he? I mean, like,
yeah.
To take it in a direction where you might not know where it's going all the time,
well,
right?
And I don't know what he did at the end. It's probably edited out, but as I'm finishing up there, he goes, and one more thing, President Bush, what's the difference between a guy who plays football and a guy who's a football player? He just wanted me to answer as John Madden. So I was like, that sounds like a question for John Madden. I think a player who plays football is a great player, and a guy who's just playing football just plays it, Dave. That's simple. I should have gone, Brett Favre.
Was he still on his whole Regis kick when you guys taped that show?
No. I think I saw because Sanjaya was on the show before, and he was just hideous. And I love that he says he wants to be an actor, a model, and a singer. First of all, he's not a singer. Second of all, don't you have to be heard to be an actor? You can't go. Here's my line. But he had the paparazzi. When I walked out the door after I was done,
I was going to ask you about that. Whether he was surrounded by people.
Ridiculous. When I walked out the door, two people taking pictures. Yeah. When he walked out the door. Like 200.
Well, it's his 15. He's gonna enjoy that, and he'll be yesterday's news.
Well, the funny thing was, 100 of it was like people, Sanjaya, and then another 100, Sanjaya, you suck.
The love and the hate.
All right, now let's, as Alan King says, if you give me a moment, let's go inside the comedy mind of Frank Kelly.
Inside the comedy mind,
Frank, you're a great, funny comedian with impressions and much more. Rich Little, who probably meant a lot to you when you were growing up, sucks. We had him on the show about a week ago before he did the correspondence dinner.
Highly disturbing.
I want to just play you a snippet, and you tell me, now, he's not doing...
We're asking for Frank's analysis of this snippet, right?
He's not doing a voice. He's not doing a bit. It's a joke. You tell us if you get the joke.
You're going to go all the way with it?
All the way with
okay.
it.
Okay, all right, Frank, bear with us. We're going to play the whole joke.
Definitely.
Enjoy.
Like, let me see.
Did you hear...
All right, it's a minute... 9 seconds long.
Bear with us here, and hopefully the it comes down the line okay.
Here we go. Rich Little.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters from Saskatoon, Saskatchewan? Now, that's cold up there. Three Canadian hunters were out in the woods one cold afternoon, and the first Canadian hunter says, look at this, Charlie. Deer tracks here, right in the snow. We got deer here. This is our lucky day. Second Canadian hunter says, deer, are you crazy? I've been hunting all my life. Those are elk tracks. We got elk here. Third Canadian hunter says, elk? Deer, those are moose tracks. Moose, for heaven's sakes. No, they're not. They're elk. No, that's deer. No, it's moose. Anyway, while they're arguing, a train comes along and hits them.
Do you get it?
No one does.
Good. That was his joke at the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Because when there's silence, listen to what he says now when there's silence.
Did you people get this? They're train tracks. Did this table over here? Did you get that? No, you didn't.
How sad is that? You're in showbiz. How sad is that, Frank?
Well, you know,
I don't know what to tell you. I did the radio television correspondence dinner 2 years ago, or last year with Cheney there, and that was when he shot the guy in the face.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And Bush was supposed to be there, and then he didn't show up. The next dinner after that, a month and a half later or whatever, President Bush has the Bush impersonator with him.
All right.
And then they have Rich Little do the dinner this year. It's like, I did that last year. It worked. And then all of a sudden, everybody else gets the press for it. And here's a guy who's still angry about it. I am bitter. I will flat out tell you, I'm bitter about it because I feel like, you know, they weren't going to do all these things, and all of a sudden they see me, it goes well, and then they hire everybody else to go do it, and I'm just like, well, dear sweet heaven, I have a weed problem.
And did you happen to catch any of the voices that Rich Little did on that thing? I mean, when we had him on the show, it was like, who do you do?
I mean, he was the guy, in the 70s, was it?
Yeah,
I mean, he was
yeah.
the guy in the 70s that was on TV all the time, that was known as the Impressionist. I mean, was he any kind of influence on you when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. I loved him. I didn't think he was funny. I just thought he was amazing to do some of the voices that he could do. But I have a week's worth of show programming for you. Yeah. Go to Rich Little's website and listen to his impressions that he has on there.
Oh, good. Well,
and it'll be stuff like Lyndon Johnson. Hello, I'm Lyndon Johnson. And you're going, what, are you really? Hello, I'm Spiro Agnew. It's like, what? And he does what every open micer does,
yes.
You know, beginning comic. He tells you who he is before he goes into it. So I'm like, this is Andy Rooney, and I'm just telling you who I am.
He's been doing it, and I guess he's still making a good living doing it.
Oh, you should have heard him. Hold on. We asked him a question. We're patronizing him, saying,
well, you set me up with that one by saying, you know, this is my idol, and I had no idea who it was going
to
be.
Come on, don't lie to Frank.
Yes, he's my idol.
Your idol.
I've never been more blindsided.
So we say to him, how come you don't have any, like, current voices? And he says, well, there's really no one out there now with a recognizable voice. For instance, who knows what Matt Damian's voice sounds like?
And he said Matt Damian, and we were told after that that he's made that same mistake twice.
Like nobody said
so
to the
he's
guy,
done it, and he's probably never been corrected.
The dude's name is Damon, not Damian.
Matt Damon, he called him Matt Damian. So I guess sometimes when time passes you by, you don't really care, and that's what it seems to be, especially at the correspondence dinner.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're too nice a guy to say bad things about other people.
No, I would say horrific things about him. I've seen that website. He called me after I did the correspondence dinner last year, out of nowhere, just that same night, and because somebody had given him my number, and he called me, and he did a bunch of impressions. And it was nice, and he was saying, I hear you're the new guy doing this kind of stuff, and you know, but he ran through like 30 impressions on the phone, and I was just kind of like, what, who is this? And then I go, is this Rich Little? Because I didn't know who he was until he did Reagan, Carter, and,
Well, so how did he initiate the phone call? Did he initiate the phone call with an impression?
Yes, with like 30 voices right in a row.
Oh my God, how weird.
Why didn't you just hang up? Did you think it was some idiot fan, or did you think it, I mean, you could have thought it, well, you said that you didn't think it was Rich Little right away.
Yeah, I don't know. To me it was kind of cool because he is the greatest known impressionist of all time. It doesn't matter, you know, how great he is or if he was a great. Everybody knows that name under 40 years old.
So when did he lay the... So he does 30 voices, and then he lays the Rich Little on you.
When did he say... because he went through like 10, and then all of a sudden, I think he did Lloyd Bridges, and I went, is this Rich Little?
Yeah.
Like, hey, how are you?
Hey, Mike, do your Rich Little for Frank Caliendo.
Well, I do the line where he says, three Canadian hunters come up here to Canada, and the thing about Rich Little, when he's speaking, he sounds like he's doing an impression of himself,
which
confuses me.
That is right on the money.
Well, do you get that? I mean, when you're listening to Rich Little, when Rich Little is talking like he's supposed to, he sounds like he's doing a voice.
I don't think he has a delivery. I mean, he has no comedic delivery.
Right.
He's like a blank slate. He's not really a comedian. He's an impressionist.
And I think he might be the first one to tell you that. But it's, boy, that Hunter's joke.
That was painful.
I knew he couldn't update his act from, I saw a video from like 1985 or something like that. It was this rich little video. I was like, I've got to see this guy. I loved him on The Muppet Show, and I saw him later. So I saw him on The Muppet Show and on The Love Boat and stuff like that. So I'm 33. So, but he, I listened to him, and he's like, you've always got to get new people. And here's one, Sylvester Stallone. and this is what he was like. He was like, well, I guess that sounds good. It was John Wayne. I was just like, oh, that's not really, you know, this is another thing that, I notice this about people that do impressions, is they, if you watch me, I'll tell you the ones that I think are just okay to bad.
Okay.
I'll set them up and let you know they're not that good, but I have a joke for it.
Okay.
As opposed to my best impressions. Because on television and on mostly when I'm with you guys trying to, you know, sell tickets or whatever I'm trying to do to whore myself out.
Let me mention Sacramento, May 12th at the Crest Theater. Not sold out yet.
Come on, guys.
Also, DZ Improv, July 18th and 19th. Not sold out yet. We've had Frank on the air for 17 minutes, and they're not sold out yet.
That's right. Great
right. Job. But when I do that, I do my best impression. So you hear a lot of impressionists will do, and this is different if you're a radio guy and you have to, you know, you have to come up with stuff and content constantly. But there's a lot of impressionists out there that say they do 300 impressions and 280 of them are terrible.
Right.
You know, and you hear that, you're like, oh my goodness, you don't sound anything like that.
I don't know anybody like that.
Well,
I have friends in radio all over the country that do some great impressions, and it's the thing is that when you're in radio, sometimes you kind of have to just go with the flow and do something that sounds like it. Like you did that Rich Little, and I'm going, that's fantastic. But if I try to do it, now I couldn't even try and do a Rich Little. One, because there's no use for it. Two,
yeah, that's it. And that's right in my wheelhouse. See, there's no use for it. That's what I pride myself on, Frank, is ones that you hear that there's absolutely nobody paying attention to them anymore. Well, that's what I like.
I tell you, that was great, though, because I've always tried to pinpoint what it is, and you said it exactly. He sounds like he's doing an impression of himself, like he has a different voice than he really does.
Whenever I do an impression of Rich Little, I think of the ultra-conservative neighbor. You know, the guy that would, the only dad on the block that would get pissed off at people saying things. That's just the way I think of Rich Little.
Do one more little Rich Little for me.
Three Canadian hunters up here in Canada. Frank, it's Rich.
Hey, hold on, Mike. Do the thing about, you remember his whole rap about, at the very beginning, we've had other people doing the show before, and I'm here to...
I did the correspondence dinner back in 1984, and when I finished, they said that I would be hired again. And here it is, 20 years later, 30 years later. Now let me tell you about three Canadian hunters. Can I possibly suck anymore?
I just realized what it is. It's Ed Sullivan without being Ed Sullivan.
Absolutely. Right. That's exactly. We were talking about
yes,
that.
Yes, we did.
Because that does sound like, you know, Taupo Jijo, the Maori fire eaters, that whole thing, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, he's not quite. He's like if a guy just kind of sounded like Ed Sullivan and didn't know who Ed Sullivan was. That's what he is. I think that's what he did. He probably just wanted to be Ed Sullivan.
Mm-hmm, that's exactly what he was doing.
Mr. Caliendo, how is your family?
Good. Everybody's running around like monsters. The two little ones are nuts.
Now, you mentioned something about TBS. You've got a show coming up. Is that a stand-up show, or are you doing something else?
Well, it's going to launch my sketch. I have my own sketch show. It's a cross between, it'll probably be considered like a cross between Chappelle's Show and Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow.
We wanted to call it Chappelle's Show, but the lawyers wouldn't let us. it's going to launch with a stand-up special by me right before Thanksgiving time that we're doing live in Las Vegas. So I've been told that TBS is going to, you know, go crazy with it and spend millions upon millions of dollars in advertising. So I just met with the president of TBS the other day. We did the pilot, you know. Why do I say that? Here's a guy who can't go on. Canadian Hunter.
Ah, I know he's right.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm finally getting it. It's basically like taking my act and then putting it on into sketch form. It won't be, you know, maybe some of the bits I do in my act might make it to sketches, but it's the format of how I do that with, like, when I set up a voice, and as myself, that's how I'll do it. I'll set up stuff from, like, a main set, and I'll throw it to the sketch. It's like the Al Pacino bit where he yells for no reason.
Yeah.
And then we'll cut to him as a librarian and be like, where's the bee sex? You know, that kind of thing. Or, you know, like, the fact that how important a voice is, you know, you don't realize how important a voice is to hear the wrong one in its place. It's like, there's a reason they use the voice of James Earl Jones as Darth Vader and not a guy like Al Pacino, because that's just not going to work listening to Luke, come to the dark side. We can rule the universe as father and son.
Oh, that is great.
but that's the kind of thing I'll do. I'll set up the sketches. I've always, years ago, 10 years ago, when I was on this terrible show called Hype on the WB, I said, let's set up the sketches a little bit, so once you don't have to get all the exposition at the beginning of a sketch trying to figure out who all the people are in the sketch, just give it to them a little bit, then you cut to the sketch and you're almost in the middle of it, and you get the punches of the sketch, and you get out and you come back and talk about it.
Oh, okay, I like that.
It's almost like setting up a clip, you know, on a talk show. Dang it, you know again!
Well, you are the greatest, really. When you're on Craig Ferguson Monday night, will you be able to come out as Frank Caliendo?
Yeah, it's just me. It's just me. I'm the first guest up. The thing that was pretty cool on Letterman, I actually gave him a line. I said, and he, you know, it wasn't a hard line or anything like that, but I did the Bush thing, and at the end of the interview, he goes, you know, that President Bush has gained a few pounds, huh?
Well, you gave it to him. All right, good for you.
I told him don't feel bad to do it, because I don't look a lot like President Bush when I do it. But I wanted him to do it in the interview. I wanted to say that and do that joke where I'm like, yeah, Dave, I ate some bad shellfish. My face puffificated like a magic dragon.
Well, Frank, we know that you will kill tonight on the Letterman. Yeah. We know you will kill on Craig Ferguson. You call us up after you sell out the Sacramento show, which is May 12th. God, I bet it sells out today at the Crest Theater. Yeah. D.C., July 18th and 19th at the Improv. And we'd love to get your ass in here and just...
I'll be there, believe me.
And just jaw with you a little bit.
Always great to have you on the show,
you know,
Frank.
We love you, Frank. We really do.
And also with you, Father.
All right, my lady. Incredibly talented. My lord, my lady.
Three Canadian hunters.
There you go. You got it, Frank.
The great Frank Caliendo. Yeah. We'll talk to you later, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye. Oh, God, that Pacino, I love his Al Pacino. Always
great.
I love that.
What's good about Frank is that he's funny without having to come on the show and do just voice after voice, like setup.
That's right. And he, you know, for me, it's just, you know, I love to listen to the way he does it, because it'll give you a little tip as to what his process is to do that type of thing. It just, it defies description to me. How Rich Little can do that kind of comedy, but Frank just said it. He's not a comedian. Mm-hmm. He just does voices, and he didn't update it. You know, that's the whole thing. And it would seem to me that in that line of work, you know, there usually is somebody coming around.
Matt Damian.
Sylvester Stallone.
Brand new. Here's a new one for you.
Yeah, hold on. Yeah,
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, and then he said it to Sylvester Stallone, sounded like this.
Where'd you get that money?
Right, it was the Duke?
Yeah. Right. You're insane.
Oh, God. How weird would that call have been?
No, I'm cold and hungry and wet and tired and short-tempered.
Imagine that, like, you pick a phone, hello, and somebody goes, here's Johnny.
That was my Sylvester Stallone, Frank. Did you like it, Pilgrim?
Well, our thanks to Frank.
Yeah.
And again, he's got a really great show when you go see him.
Very fun.
Really.
I am excited about the show on CBS. I look forward to that. His stand-up is fantastic.
Sacramento, May 12th at the Crest Theater, and here in D.C. at the Improv, July 18th and 19th. Get those tickets now. We got to hit this. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
We want to hurt no one. We're here for the bank's money, not your money. Your money is insured by the federal government. You're not going to lose a dime. Think of your families. Don't risk your life. Don't try and be a hero. Right now, I want you to sit on the floor and put your hands on your head. Anybody feel sick? Anybody got heart trouble? Go ahead and lean against the wall. Let me see. Get out! Stay out!
Eat.
The Don and Mike Show.
Maybe not the funniest thing to be doing. God damn, I sure do like that movie.
And that's not De Niro that hits the guy at the end.
No.
De Niro's doing the talking, and that's the rogue guy that hits somebody.
You are correct, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, you can borrow my wife if she wants you to. You can lounge around here on her sofa in her ex-husband's dead tech post-modernistic house if you want to.
I know this one. This is Don't Watch My TV Set.
But you do not set the watch television set.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin.
There's another one of those boom crash things.
It's a very small. That's Rudy's beer can TV.
That is weak. Where's a bigger one? Come on.
Another tiny little one. Somebody broke a light bulb. That's the TV being broken.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
What?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike. Simply Cow Teeth. The Don and Mike Show.
Dang straight. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's up, guys? You just had Frank Caliendo on. I was wondering if Mike knew that he's got a new restaurant. I don't know if you guys heard. You didn't talk to him about it? He's got all the same food that Mike serves at O'Mara's. He just does it a little bit better.
Oh, that's so cruel. Are you lonely this weekend?
Oh, come on, get out of here.
His whole life. Are you lonely?
F you.
F you.
Please.
You know. I am so wounded.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Robert De Niro, man.
Robert De Niro, what's happening?
Robert De Niro.
Speaking of Robert De Niro, hello, Bobby Mailman.
Boy,
you're on an awful phone. I put out the 911 for you.
Yeah, I know.
I got the emergency call for you.
How are you, Robert?
Yeah, I'm ready for this bed. What you wanna do?
Robert, I think it is time at this point that you and I get past all this crap with Xbox Live and a visit here and a visit there. I believe that the Miami Heat will beat the Bulls in the series.
Okay, and I care because...
Oh, you don't. Oh,
he wants to bet you, Robert.
Never mind.
I'm a Lakers fan, but let's do
it. Never mind. You're pussying out. I'll see you later. Bye bye. Okay.
Bye.
Sorry. I thought I was talking to a man, not a pussy.
You wounded him.
He cares why. Yeah. Well, he cares who we bet last.
So was
year.
That his way of saying he's not taking the bet? I don't understand.
Yes, I don't know. I had to hang up on him, Mike. I'm allergic to pussies. Oh, you know what I mean?
I understand.
The
I understand, Bruce.
The mankind.
That's a little odd. Maybe he had a little jet lag. I'm not sure.
Hello, Donna Meisher. Maybe he's just afraid of Shaquille O'Neal, who will explode tonight.
Way to try.
Trust me, he will explode.
What is the best of what?
Best of 80. As always in the NBA, it's the best out of 80.
No, seriously, because I'm thinking of picking up the slack here.
Best out of 7.
Best out of 7?
Best out of 7.
Hmm.
So the Heat's got to win tonight. If they go down 0-3, they're screwed.
All I know is from what I've read, the Bulls are quite a team this year.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
The Washington Bulls, right?
They do have Ben Wallace. Ben Wallace, who was with Detroit, who has turned around the Chicago Bulls.
Okay.
The baby Bulls.
Really?
Yeah. Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Thanks for playing along, Mike. I know you don't like basketball. You don't follow it.
I don't follow it. I
didn't mean to
I
say
follow it like, you know, if you see it on Sports
I didn't mean like you don't like it. Like, you know.
But see, I don't feel comfortable taking the bet. I was going to take the bet because I know you want to bet somebody because it is still, you know, when any team is 2 down in a best of 7 series, it's a pretty good bet on the other side, but I don't know enough about it.
I only want to bet Robert the Mailman because I bet him all the time.
Right? Well, what was his deal?
Well, I think he's afraid of the power of Shaq.
Really? Well, it's not a Lakers bet. That's his team. The Lakers are his team.
He bet against me last year, though.
Was it Bulls Heat last year?
No, it was Dallas versus the Heat.
No, see, it's a different bet.
Yeah.
Dallas from a different city. How do you like that? There's my NBA knowledge.
No, but hold on. Right. But if his team is the Lakers.
Right.
And he bet last year against me. He took Dallas.
Well, maybe Dallas had some emotional impact on him.
To Robert?
He didn't take this bet.
Because he's a pussy.
In a suit.
I'm only saying he's a pussy until he texts you.
Or he calls back.
Oh, he's on the line.
Oh, it's the right. telephone.
No, he can wait. Hi there, what's up?
Hey, Don Mike.
Hi.
How you doing?
We're doing very well.
If you get the chance, I was listening to you talking to Frank Caliendo, and I went to the Rich Little website and clicked on some of the voices to hear his impressions. Absolutely putrid. You wouldn't. It's amazing.
We can't wait.
Well, listen, we don't have to go to the website. We had the loser on the show.
Yes, my idol. He was on the show. And God.
Your Canadian idol.
My Canadian idol.
All right, I'll stop kidding around. Hey, Robert.
Hey, I took the Lakers last year and lost, and I had to wear the sandwich board that said, I love white people.
But no, was it the Lakers or was it Dallas? I think we had
that. No, I took the Lakers last year and they lost, remember? I lost the bet.
Yep. All right. Then it's my mistake.
No, but I'll take whoever against Miami. They're not going to win against the Bulls. What's the bet?
Okay. Now here's the thing.
You're a sissy. You keep calling me colored while I'm on the phone, but you ain't got the balls to do it when I'm in the studio.
Wow.
What was that?
I don't know. He's upset about something.
You call me colored.
I call you colored all the time.
Hey, you know what, Don?
What?
I've been breaking it down. What color are you? What color are you?
I'm a mixture of colors, Robert.
But you have color, right?
Oh, I do.
So technically, every human has a color.
Yeah.
Colored.
You could call me colored as well.
So you're making fun of me because of the hue of my color.
Robert, right? I would just like to say this right now. I'm sorry. I did a bad thing, Robert.
I'm dealing with some real racism. I told Rob about it. I am dealing with racism like on a IMUS level, for real.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that.
Hold on.
I did a bad thing.
All right, now we're goofing you.
Wait a minute, Robert. You're dealing with this in real life?
In what regard?
Yeah, man.
In what regard?
On the job racism.
Why? What's going on?
I had a customer write a complaint letter, a racist, ranting complaint letter about me that I had to explain myself to the United States Postal Service. It was so racist that not only did I write a response letter, but I filed a complaint against the customer.
Wow.
Because this person, I'm going to send it to you and let you read it.
Wow.
Might as well be calling me the N-word.
Listen, I've said this about you before, and I'll say it now, you big dummy. I love having you on the show because we can discuss race in a way in which it's give and take on both ends, and you give as well as you get. So let's put the whole race card behind us.
Okay, we can get past that because you're not racist.
Obviously, you're not racist, but you are.
You promised me to have me at your house, but you already had a couple of colored people there.
Well, I tell you that.
You filled your quota.
What is this?
What
did it say, customer?
Yeah, that's the customer that he was referring to.
Customer Rob Spiewak.
On his route.
Oh, was the customer Rob Spiewak, Robert?
That's why he moved.
Had to.
That's why he moved.
Get out of here.
Are you just in a bad mood because you're back from Bangkok where you had an incredible time and now you're back to work?
The best time of my life. I like a situation to Rob that he has to run past CBS to see if I can talk about it.
Ah.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We really do have to run it past the censors. Robert has.
Oh, man. I told him.
I can only imagine.
Half the stuff I went through will not be discussed on the current Don and Mike show. Maybe in the conception where you're on cable somewhere.
Right. Yeah,
discuss it.
Remember what the president of the company said to me today in passing. One of his thoughts was, well, there's free speech, and
right.
then there's free speech on CBS.
This is true.
You got that directly
today.
From the story I have about this one.
Oh, Robbie told me a little bit about it. Robert, I would give you a half hour on the air for that story.
I want to hear them all.
Listen, I tell you, let's make our bet here. At least in very vague terms, do we agree that we have a bet? I'll take the Heat and you take the Bulls, even though the Bulls are up 2-0.
What's the prize, my brother?
How about this, my brother? How about some dead presidents?
That'll work.
I know you love betting for money.
Once you put it in his court, how many?
What did you just say?
How many?
I know you love betting for money.
Oh, I thought you said I'm a black man in debt. I'm misreading. I'm sorry.
Now, you're hypersensitive today, Robert.
Everything is race with you, Robert.
Robert,
everything. Don't I try to deal with race in America with humor?
Robert, I want to tell you something. I love your appearance. I've said this every time. Seriously, I love having you on the show because you and I can go back and forth about race, and the goddamn truth is I really love you. You're a great guy, and no matter what you say, I know you love me, and that's why we can kid each other like that.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, I know behind the scenes, you know, Mike has his issues with me. We already know Rob is a real racist for real. Man has a part of the Hindenburg.
Robert, my issues have nothing to do with race. It's just I don't like you. It's a personal thing.
You can accept that, can't you?
Can't you, accept that, Robert? Can't you just accept that?
Hey, hey Mike.
Yes, Robert.
I'm not the only one that doesn't like you. You know, you do have two ex-wives.
This is true, and I mean that's okay.
But they've accepted.
They have accepted that fact. You know.
So, you know, I mean, other than a restaurant, what is it I like about you,
Robert? Robert, here is the
deal.
Sir.
What is the bet?
I tell you what, because I love our audience.
Uh-huh.
I can't help it. I love them. I'll throw out the thing that I know you want the most, which is still to come to my house,
right?
For whatever, for a night of partying, drinking, Cuban cigars, Xbox, whatever.
Okay? Right.
All I ask is that if that's what I offer you, if you will leave it open-ended enough with me to come up with something as creative as we did last time, which is like when we had the dunk tank full of grape Kool-Aid.
That was wonderful.
Right. That was another bet I lost.
That was fun.
Okay, so if you at least trust us enough, mm-hmm, that if I lose, I swear to God, in front of everybody, to come to my house the first available weekend in the calendar year 2008. I'll have you out to the house. As a matter of fact, we'll watch the goddamn NBA finals together or something. We'll make
Can
it
we have barbecue? Can we have barbecue?
And watermelon.
Would you be willing to put on a dress, go in drag, wear a wig, and wear a sign out in front on Rockville Pike that says Hillary 2008?
Yeah, I'd do that.
Wow.
I didn't think he'd take it.
Mike, you aimed so high.
I aimed high right away for you, Mike. I was hoping to negotiate down.
I think Mike's already hit upon a winner. Robert shirtless with a sandwich board for the entire show, outside on Rockville Pike with a sign that says, Hillary a honk for
Well, I, you said shirtless. I said he'd go full drag, dressed as a woman.
Okay, either way, Mike.
That would require a nice wig, and I'd just love to see. You know what I'm thinking, Buzz? I'm thinking that show, Boston Legal.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. Don, I know you've never seen this character, but... Robert, have you seen the Boston Legal with that transvestite?
No.
Okay, well, that was my inspiration. If you might want to check that out. But, yes, full makeup.
I'll do it in drag. I don't have problems.
All right, well, then this is a bet, and this might finally be the time when I lose and do have to have your big black ass at my house, but I welcome it.
Ashy ass. Remember that, too.
Your itchy ass.
Ashy.
Your ashy, itchy ass. Bring it by and come on. Let's go, Heat.
The bet is on. Let's go, Bull.
Let's go.
There it is.
I don't even have it.
The other side of me that wants to lose.
What?
There's a side of me that wants to lose now that I know what I'm
going to
lose.
Hey, there you go. That's the right attitude.
And Robert, I can say I don't feel the same way. All right, dude.
Yeah. We'll talk to you. Panties and high heels. There you go.
All right, talk to you later, man.
All right, brother.
Okay, goodbye.
Later.
Bye, Robert. Bye.
Now, either way, when he comes to your house, if he comes to your house, he still has to be in drag.
Yes,
right?
Full drag.
Right. High drag.
Full drag like Dame Edna.
Here's the thing. I know that you guys don't follow the NBA.
I love it.
Yeah, like you do marijuana.
Exactly. I'll have a marijuana cigarette and look at a basketball game.
I think anybody with a brain that follows basketball just said, I just made the stupidest bet of all time.
Yeah.
However, I'm betting first on the power of Shaq.
Right. Of course.
Never doubt the power of Shaq. And also, for whatever reason, Robert has a hard time winning a bet against me.
True. Okay. True. So you're feeling lucky.
So I'm just feeling like...
You're going to will it to happen.
Well, Donald.
Yeah.
Well.
Does anybody else watch, Shaq on SportsCenter? He's so mad. He's so pissed off that I cannot imagine they're going to lose that game tonight.
So four games in a row for the Heat. You're convinced?
No, they can lose one more.
Okay.
But they can't lose tonight.
They're not going to rattle off.
They can't lose tonight, or else they do have to win four in a row.
Okay. All right.
Let's go Heat. Let's go Heat.
That makes it more interesting. I'll be checking the box scores.
Yeah, then we get them outside. You don't check the box scores.
I'm kidding. That was my joke. That was my joke.
The joke. Although there is a box score, kind of.
Not really, though. Not a traditional box score.
Thank you. But it's a stat sheet.
Right.
You do have, you know, points, assists, rebounds.
I'll be watching with bated breath to see how many runs the Heat score.
And you know what? The other day, when you were talking about that, it was yesterday, talking about that thing with the shilling sock.
Yes.
Did you read that guy who broadcasts for the Orioles now is...
He's disavowed it. He said he was wrong.
It
was BS. He made the whole thing up. And I read Schilling, Schilling likes never met a camera he didn't like. Huh? And I read his blog today. So he blogs now, and, he does the whole thing where, why don't you go out sometime, have your skin sutured to the tissue above the ankle bone, walk around for 4 hours, and then go out and throw 100 pitches, run the cover first base, and see if it doesn't bleed. It's, it's that whole, he's playing that one card. He's playing the Theismann card right there, which is, hey, have you ever been in a Super Bowl?
Well, you can't blame him, though.
Of course not.
Because the stupid...
Gary Thorne is a stain for doing that.
Stupid broadcaster for the Orioles saying that, and
it, based on, and I went back and I looked at it, and it was just, Gary Thorne's one of these no-neck guys that comes on and says, hey, let me tell you about that. Well, that was completely, that was a PR move. That was a PR stunt. And when he said it, it was matter of fact. It was not like he was saying it to joke. He was saying it matter of factly and attributed it to Doug Mirabelli. So that's, but that's all gone now. And Schilling says, in the event that anybody wants to prove that that's not blood on the sock, if they can prove it, he will donate $1 million to their favorite charity if they can prove it. And if they can't prove it, they have to donate $1 million to, I think, ALS.
Then someone, if they don't believe it, should get that thing from CSI.
Well, here's the deal. Here's what I didn't know. I thought that sock was in the Hall of Fame. That sock's not in the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's what they said.
The World Series sock, the Game 2 World Series sock, which he also bled through.
That's for the ALCS? Bloody sock?
The bloody sock, there are two of them. He pitched in the World Series game number 2. That's the one that went to the Hall of Fame. The original one from the ALCS, Schilling says, is in the hands of some clubhouse guy. He speculates that it's at the house of a clubhouse worker for the Yankees.
It's the CSI world we live in. I think it would be so easy. Get the eyedropper that Grissom has,
right.
Put the little on, and it turns the right color. Blue. You go right away, that's blood.
The story I said today is that the blood after a while turns brown, and the color has turned brown.
Right.
I thought that was funny. Brown makes me laugh.
Could you tell by the smell?
Yeah, or the taste?
Yeah.
If it's coppery.
Coppery, right.
It's real
like
blood.
Penny,
and if it goes, no, that's chemical, then it's paint. Awful. Yeah, so it's all over now.
So how many times this year will the Yankees play the Red Sox on TV? Is it every
The Yankees play the Red Sox, I think, 19 times. They've already played one series.
It seems like every weekend is another big series this weekend, right?
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Too bad you're going to miss the game tomorrow night, Mike.
I know. That's what TiVo was invented for.
You're going to be at a real game.
I'm going to be at a real game, and I'm nervous now.
You're singing
I said I wasn't as nervous? Now it's official. It's hitting me.
Singing the national anthem tomorrow night.
Yes.
At RFK for the Nationals and the Mets.
30,000 people.
Right. And the entire team's future hinges on Mike singing.
Mm-hmm. They're really going to have a winning season if I succeed, and a losing season if I don't succeed.
And I don't know if you've heard this or not, I'm getting a full dress uniform.
That's what you'll be wearing.
Congratulations.
With my name on it and everything. And I'm going to be like the manager. Be like the fat guy that really shouldn't be wearing the uniform.
Right.
That's going to be me.
The exciting part, though, is I've decided on the look. I will be wearing my hair like Sanjaya when he had the mohawk.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to be getting those safety pins, that are gonna, those bobby pins, whatever they are.
Yeah. Mohawk.
It'll be big fun.
All right, Big Bobby. Yeah, whatever. Have you seen the Sports Center? I don't know which one of your Red Sox guys it is.
It's Big Poppy.
Is it Big Poppy?
It's Big Poppy.
When
and there's
Wally, Wally the mascot goes
when
by.
When he's sitting there with Jorge Posada of the Yankees.
Yeah.
He puts the Yankee hat on. It's stupid, but it's funny. I love those. I really, really do. I love it.
It's all pretty good with, it was Carmelo Anthony, somebody, a basketball player. Walks up to one of those ESPN dorks and he's like, hey, dude, the ESPN guy goes, I told you to pick my dry cleaning up. And whoever the basketball player says is, hey, man, that was last year. I was rookie of the year in the NBA. And the ESPN guy says, still a rookie as far as I'm concerned. So the guy's got to pick his shirts up and take them. Right. I guess you got to pick it.
No, we understand. They've got the same ad agency. They're great.
We know the ad.
It's a guy thing.
And I sure like watching Stump the Schwab.
Okay, well, the cheese stands alone on that.
I just like to kick that guy's ass. I really would. I hate to put it on that level.
And what is wrong with me? that this year I am not even this much juiced up for the NFL draft.
Now you were telling me before you're not interested
in that.
Too much hype. They've overhyped him.
Overhyped the draft.
Yeah, and Mike said to him, he meant me. I don't see myself sitting down and watching my usual 10 to 12 hours a day of NFL draft.
But for anybody that's going to look in over the weekend, you might want to check it out, because if you really look, you can see the similarities between Mel Kiper Jr. And a bird of prey.
Hey, listen, Mel Kiper Jr. is another guy whose face was made for low def. If you happen to see, like, NFL Live or SportsCenter,
right,
the pock marks on Mel Kiper Jr.'s skin.
Mm-hmm. And that hairline recedes every year. He really resembles an osprey right now.
Not as good looking as Mel Kiper Sr.
And now's the time of the year when Mel Kiper, I'm guessing, is like 1 hour of sleep a night. Because they whore him out on every single ESPN show.
Right.
And he just looks hagged out, pockmarked face.
Mel Kiper Jr.
And you know, the breath smells just like a thousand dirty ashtrays.
Can you imagine at the end of that day, that 12-hour broadcast day? Hey, Mel, good broadcast.
Thank you.
Right.
That's exactly it. We got to do this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Let's hear now from Alec Baldwin.
But I'll tell you, I see where I was telling somebody how and the other thing is that
that is great editing.
Okay,
that is really well done.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Like a backward brain fart. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, stand by there, Charlie Elston, with the news. Let me see. Here's the latest on Rosie O'Donnell. The latest is that she left The View. Not because of her views or because she was so controversial. Because she put the power play. What?
Nothing.
The way I said it?
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah.
It was very close.
Funny. I got myself, I got my little goofy Friday chuckle out of it.
I mean, anytime you mention the C word, you know.
Not even the right word. Another word. Although it was close. You're right.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
It was wonderful.
Never mind.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, you are with a capital C.
See, I remember. I read that little part where they say don't draw attention to anything.
We always start controversy. We don't want to start a controversy.
Debbie Metanopoulos, Star Jones was a hippopotamus, lost all of that weight and denied her tummy tuck. Where did Lucy Liu go? That's actually Lisa Ling that I'm thinking of. The View can't seem to keep a steady lineup on that show. Rosie was finally fired. Barbara Walters denies it. Donald Trump is excited. Rosie was finally fired. Maybe she'll be hired as the Price is Right host.
I love that.
Which cheese do you prefer?
All right, so the word is that she went to ABC and said, I want more money. They said, okay. She said, I want control of the show. They said, you've already got control of the show. She said, no, I want everyone to know that I'm the boss and that Barbara Walters is not the boss of The View. And that's where she lost the battle.
Yeah. Yeah, screw her.
So that's the truth. Alec Baldwin, who we talked about a second ago.
You are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
He's not done. He went on The View. Now he's going to go on Dr. Phil. Yes.
Oh. He'll have a rougher time of it on Dr.
He's
Phil.
He's going to go on Dr. Phil, right.
Bleeping, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep.
Right. And I did do some research, Mike, on the American Idol thing.
Okay.
About the charity.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
That I don't believe in.
Are you gonna? Is this gonna make me feel good or bad?
Again, I'm ambiguous about it. You'll feel good,
okay?
Because when I went to AmericanIdol.com, and again, it's all done with smoke and mirrors. There are no hard and fast facts. When you go to AmericanIdol.com, it says they've raised $60 million thus far.
Okay,
it does include that $5 million is from Fox, and I specifically printed out. From AmericanIdol.com, the money will go towards helping impoverished children in Africa and the United States.
so it's kind of generic.
That's all.
You didn't get any more information than that.
Nope.
Very broad. You know, I was going to mention to you yesterday when we were discussing it, when I went on the website the other night when they were having that, the telethon, that's what I call it, a telethon.
Right.
There was a certain name for the charity, an umbrella charity that they had, that and I forgot the name of it. But they also were not tremendously specific about what it was. I'd love to see that. I think anybody that pledged the other night or donated by phone would love to see
right.
a little more detail as to where that money's going to go to.
However, when I was on AmericanIdol.com today,
yeah,
the mentor next week is Bon Jovi.
All right.
Yeah, you feel like I do.
I sure do.
So they're going to be...
Password is overexposed.
They're going to be doing Bon Jovi songs.
Unless they bring in Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
It's going to be...
which is the greatest bit ever on Conan O'Brien.
Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora will be the mentors.
Well, Richie Sambora is a good guy, but, you know, God, it's always... Isn't it always Bon Jovi? It's always Bon Jovi. But then again, you're getting to a point in music where you're like, well, who else are they going to get?
He's available.
Yeah, but he reinvents himself so many times. He's a country singer now. And then they put out the Bon Jovi record where it's like all the acoustic. Mm-hmm. And then he's the owner of the Arena League football team.
Right, right.
He's got so much crap going on. Yeah.
Renaissance man, Bon Jovi.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, wanted dead or alive. That's where they lost me, incidentally.
Yeah, I know.
As soon as they went down that
Cowboy route,
mm-hmm. thank you, Buzz, mm-hmm. that's where they lost me. Yeah.
Is that an actual choice? Dead or alive for him? I can ring in.
It's not a question.
I can ring in now.
But when they had the whole thing with that Triumph the Insult Comic with those guys.
They were talking to people at the New Jersey Meadowlands waiting to see
at a Bon Jovi concert, right.
And Triumph says to one guy, why would you wait in line and pay all this money when next summer you can pay $2 and see them at Six Flags?
That was a great line. So it'll be Bon Jovi. How exciting.
Seriously, have you ever talked to a woman without having to give your credit card number?
And what's the other thing on that? Because that's really a classic, and that's where the...
He's looking at these guys that are mugging for, you know, I'm an idiot. My name is this guy. or something like that.
No, that's exactly the gist of it. Yeah.
I'm an idiot. My name is this guy. And then at the very end, he's got a little poodle on the tour bus, and Triumph is humping the little poodle on the tour bus.
And he also is humping Heather Locklear's leg.
It's great.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Hey, you guys. I don't know if you figured it out, but hay is for horses and jackasses. Like, do you remember that?
No. I thank you for coming back to something I said earlier in the show today. There is some old, like, smart-ass saying, hay is for horses.
You end it with you, though.
Oh, okay. Hay is for horses
and jackasses like you.
Like you.
That's not what I remember.
It's like Rich Little's joke.
No,
it's hay is for horses and three Canadian hunters.
Saskatoon.
Did you hear about the three Canadian hunters?
That makes sense.
From Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Now, that's cold up there.
I don't want to hear that. That's not funny. You want to hear a funny type?
Yes.
You wrote, describing you, mm-hmm. I lived in fear all the time, deathly fear. Chevy remembers being awakened in the middle of the night and slapped continually and hard across the face. I don't remember what it was for or what I had done. This was not unusual. Being locked in the bedroom closet for hours. Standard punishment in the hospital.
As a young child, that's true. I had a very unstable mother who also had a very unstable child. I was not a family. I was able to figure out root causes of my mother and my stepfather's issues were, and
that take.
Too funny, Tom.
Man, oh man.
Do you know what time Chevy got booked on the Today Show today?
What time?
9:50.
There you go.
Wow. Was Al Roker even still there?
No, it was Campbell Brown. No cooking segment today.
Campbell Brown, my God, that mouth is like a cyborg mouth. Like, really, it's like a Terminator girl mouth. And she's got this thing. This is Campbell Brown.
9:50, that's like right after the retirement segment.
Today's death.
Brought to you by... Smuckers.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Wednesday's course.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey,
I just wanted to do a who would you do between John Clayton and Mel Kiper.
John Clayton and Mel Kiper.
Is John Clayton another draft analyst?
John Clayton is the old professorial guy, real wimpy-looking guy.
That's on the draft coverage?
He's on ESPN all the time.
Okay.
The answer is Kiper.
Of course. Sure, he's got better hair.
Hello, Don and Mike show. John Clayton. I'm sorry, that's something that like only an idiot like me would understand. It's funny.
That's why you call.
Hello.
Hey, it's hay is for horses. Cows eat grass, so pucker up and kiss my ass!
I don't know if it's that.
I sure like that one better, though.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Whoopee!
Whoopee!
Hello.
Hi. What it is hay is for horses. Ain't you glad you're a cow?
No, that's not an idiot, Mike. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hay's for horses, better for cows. Pigs can't eat it because they don't know how.
Oh, no. No, this is it. I remember this from being a kid.
Okay.
Hay is for horses. Have a great time at the Asparagus Festival, fat ass.
And P.S., the Kings are moving.
To Vegas, baby.
Hello. Hi there.
Hey.
Donna Mike Show. Hello.
Yes,
hi there.
Hey, it's Sal Salmonella. How you doing, guys?
Hey,
that's a nickname.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you later, funny man. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, it's for horses, straws for cows, milk is for babies to shut their mouths.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Wow, we're getting a lot of them now.
Who the frig knows, but there used to be something like that. Well, another day we'll figure that out.
Sure.
Hey, here's a sign that we're getting old. Before we go to Buzz and the news, I was, no, this is not a kidding thing.
Right.
I was on the phone with my kid during the commercials with Bart, and... even with the tragedy that happened with Frida and him missing nearly almost 1.5, almost 2 semesters of college.
Right.
Just if you want to feel old, if you've listened to the show for a long time, he's on schedule to graduate from college maybe as soon like as September.
Wow.
If he goes back this summer and just finishes up a couple of little classes.
Yeah. I just have that memory of him at Disney.
I know.
When we did the Disney parts. Shows down there before we got kicked out.
You carried around that
I carried
thing.
Him.
Hey, you had that thing on your back that you wore him in.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
Now look at him. Jesus Christ. He's almost ready to graduate.
Amazing.
So I just had to have the conversation with him during the commercials. Like, that's great. I hope. And what parent hasn't been through this? That's wonderful. I'm so glad to hear there's finally an end date. You know that means you're not moving back home.
My folks said the same thing to me, so don't worry about it.
Anyway, I'm very proud of him.
Yeah,
so
rightly so.
Just want to throw that out there.
It does make me feel old. I think because of you, I will color my beard this weekend.
I just wanted to throw that out there. And my boy,
yeah.
My jeans, Dean's List.
How about that? Go. Yeah, he moved through there pretty quick.
Yeah.
Once he got going.
Proud of that boy. Yeah. Proud of that lazy-ass boy of mine. Proud of that Dean's List boy of mine that sleeps until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Hey, if he's getting Dean's List, he can sleep to whatever he wants.
Getting it done.
Well, it's Clemson. It's like 13th grade. Oh, no, it's not.
Right.
Come on. Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hay for horses. I'll feed your fat ass later.
Oh, my gosh. Is that all people are calling when that was a hay is for horses thing? Hello, Don and Mike.
Yes, Don and Mike. Two things. Britney Spears is bald. She also shaved her head.
Hay is for horses. I'm going to a great party in Modesto this weekend.
I know. We did the Disney shows down there.
You just ruined my day.
Oh, hey, no. Now, come
hay
on
is
now.
For horses. You just ruined my day.
Fudge is made. Did I balance it out a little bit?
If our listeners are yellow, let them mellow.
If they're browns, flush them down.
That's very bad.
Somebody will make that controversial. Somebody will make that controversial, and we'll be out of a job Monday.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
Oh, yes.
See, we weren't
very dangerous.
We weren't even thinking.
We weren't even thinking, but I was, Buzz.
Yeah. We're talking about number one and number two, Mike.
Right. You know what this is up here? It's a law book.
No,
what I got up there now, a law book.
A law book.
That's what you need.
You know what there is up here, Mike?
What's that?
Absolutely nothing. Mike was just pointing to his head there, the law book. You know what it is up here? Comic book. I say this, though, about both of us.
Yeah.
Point to your head right now like I am.
Right.
Please do it like me.
Okay.
No off switch.
No.
Can't help it.
And put them together, you get a whole one.
Always
almost. Is it 3/4 now?
We're down to 68%.
68% of a
between
full brain.
The two of between you. The yeah. two of us, gotcha. We have 68% of the left side
yep.
of your brain. The right side, mm-hmm. which is the side that controls motor coordination.
I think that's the I think that's the right side.
Yeah. That's the side we don't. No,
Don's down.
Oh no,
or I should say, oh no,
again.
Oh no.
Okay. How you doing, boy?
You scared? Anybody get hurt?
This sounds like a good time for asparagus.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
We'll be right back with Don.
This is the Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Armed with only their wits and their guns, Don and Mike.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, here we go. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Mike O'Mara singing the national anthem.
Yeah, boy.
This is quite literally hell on earth.
Tomorrow night.
Hey, I need all the help I can get, okay?
RFK Stadium, that's Nat. Full coverage on Monday's episode, everybody.
Yeah.
Also, our friend Frank Caliendo just called in. Shame on you. You've only sold out the Sacramento show thus far. It's only been an hour.
Damn.
There are still like 100 seats available for his D.C. show.
That's right. It's in July, so you'd better hurry.
And mm-hmm. Anyway, Frank's a great guy. So thanks for supporting him.
Yeah.
And now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
How are you?
I'm well. You guys were talking earlier about the Curt Schilling thing and how it was probably all settled now that Gary Thorne had explained that it was just a joke and he didn't mean anything by it.
Yeah, he kind of explained it.
Well, it's not settled. Curt Schilling is still plenty pissed, and he says he wants to put the rumors to rest. So Curt Schilling is now offering $1 million to anyone who can prove that's not his sock.
All right.
I thought you'd like to know. With the addition... Yes?
Mike already said that.
I wish I'd heard that.
It was during the show.
I'm going to have to listen more.
It was on the air. It wasn't when we were outside.
Well, for those of us who tuned in late, this just in. With the addition of New Hampshire this
That's
week.
That's quite a boner, Buzz.
Yes, it certainly is.
And it was, you know what?
Does it seem warm in here to you?
It was... Goddamn, Buzz.
Yeah, no, I remember the discussion.
It was 15 minutes ago.
I remember the discussion. I apparently missed the line about offering $1 million. And so you can imagine.
It was the part where I said I was reading his blog.
You can imagine my delight when it came over the wire.
I even mentioned his charity.
I remember the blog. I just don't remember the $1 million.
Perhaps Buzz has sparked up some high-quality bud and did not hear it.
Thanks to you, my friend.
High-quality bud.
With the addition, let's begin again, shall we?
Yes, let's start over.
Oh, come on, Buzz. This is goofy.
We're just getting fine. It's going to be fine. Yeah. With the addition of New Hampshire this week, now every single one of the New England states has passed laws allowing for same-sex civil unions. So what part of the country will be next? Hello, Midwest.
Gay, 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 gay.
Don't be shy. Let Iowa make the first move. Brokeback Iowa. The Iowa House yesterday easily voted through a wide-sweeping gay rights bill that brought the Democrat from Dubuque to tears of joy.
Good.
But a rural Republican warned that this is a slippery slope.
Good. Like I've always said, let gays get married so they can be miserable like we are.
Amen.
Like straights are.
The lawmaker wondered, what's next, gay marriage?
Hey, that's what I'm going to say next time I go out to a bar.
Straight.
Hey, are you guys straights?
But these days, if someone works, someone at work, rather, says something insensitive and somebody complains about it, the offending party...
I'm sorry.
...gets packed off to diversity training.
No strays allowed.
Did anybody... I know I'm on an Imus riff here that only I'm doing right now. Did anybody catch... What's his name? The producer guy last night on Hannity and Combs?
No.
Bernard.
Bernard was on there, the guy that he also got fired.
Yeah. Watch it on YouTube. Guy, I gotta say, the guy made a pretty strong case for the type of radio that they did and the things that they said. You have it?
Hey,
yeah, he talked about Al Sharpton, too, didn't he? I believe he did.
Hold on. But then, I mean,
no, it's fine. This is
derail
news from today.
Yeah, okay. Just roll a little bit of this, Robbie. Here we go. Cut number 14.
Bernard.
Sharpton, of course, being, the classless clown that he is, just used the situation, in my humble opinion, to further his own goals, to further himself. And I don't know, the media treated him like he was Nelson Mandela, for God's sakes, without asking him about his past inflammatory you know, comments. This sanctimonious skunk. I mean, he said some horrible things, which you've confronted him on. You did so last Friday, but nobody else did. They treated him again like he was somebody.
And here's one other thing you said last night about the word ho.
You actually said the word ho.
That's right. I did say the word ho. You know, I mean, it's not a word that people in radio and in the pop culture do not use.
Right.
You know, it derives from the hip-hop community, and we appropriated it. You know, we're trying to be, or I'm trying to be cool. By the way, I came from the streets myself. I grew up in the South Bronx in a housing project.
Yeah.
I drove a taxi at night in the ghettos and Yonkers and the Bronx. And that was my language. My language is the street language. So I'm not some, you know, rich white kid from the suburbs trying to sound. You know, that's what I did. I spoke that way. I could, you know, I could roll this way, that way, whatever.
Anyway, I thought the guy made a lot of decent points.
Is he a big guy?
Bernard. No, he's a skinny, bald guy.
Skinny, bald guy.
Skinny, bald guy.
Well, what I was talking about was diversity training.
He kind of looks like Phil from America.
Oh, okay.
he
looks like John Norman.
Yeah, in a roundabout way.
Like Uncle Fester with AIDS.
Ah, well, now I have an image.
Oh. He puts the light bulb in his mouth, the light doesn't always go on.
Spectacular.
I feel much better now.
I feel much better. Light bulb on my head. And my mouth. Sorry, I forgot.
It is now.
I can make it light. Ah, candida.
So diversity training is where they send employees now if they say something racially insensitive at work. A new study, however, says diversity training doesn't work.
Don't never, ever trust whitey.
I don't.
In fact, it can sometimes make things worse, according to a study by sociologists at UC Berkeley, Harvard, and the University of Minnesota.
Bleeping, 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 bleep, bleep, bleep.
It's going to come as an unhappy shock to big companies like GE, Texaco, and Coca-Cola have spent millions on diversity training. The sociologists say government numbers show diversity training does not lead to minority promotions.
CBS has spent cents and cents on diversity training.
Cents and cents?
C-E-N-T-S.
Man, that's nasty.
No, I mean, cents. Like, C-E-N-T-S.
Yes, pennies.
Not S-C-E-N-T. Yes.
Pennies.
That would be cent of a woman.
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah. The prejudices run too deeply, say these sociologists, but they say what does work instead is mentoring, seeing promise in an individual worker, and then advising.
Oh, like what Bon Jovi's doing next week with American Honor Society. Mentoring them.
That's right. As mayor of New York, Rudy Giuliani had a knack for finding qualified people who also happened to be gay. Some of Rudy's best friends are gay. Now, though, Rudy's finding
out so gay.
That to be a Republican on a national scale means having to abandon some of your friends.
Funny, that's funny. How's your friend Ann Coulter in the faggot world?
3 years ago on Fox News, Giuliani said he was in favor of same-sex civil unions. As of sometime yesterday, Giuliani is now against civil unions, securing his top spot among the Republican presidential candidates.
Giuliani is so out of it. McCain is so out of it. I'm talking about their views. I'm talking about their chances to win.
Right? Mm.
And they are so far out of it. Forget it.
They seem to be a little bit all over the road.
And that guy that John Voight is in love with seems to really be skyrocketing, huh?
You'd be talking about Mitt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mitt Romney.
Mitt the Mormon. Right.
No, and still, Giuliani leads among the Republicans, and Al Gore might be the top choice among Democrats, even though he's not running yet again. University surveys in...
An inconvenient ass. An inconvenient fart. Al Gore.
University... I resent that. You're talking about a very serious issue, and you're equating it with some sort of colonic disturbance.
You want to take care of the greenhouse effect?
I sure do.
Stop farting.
I don't.
Right.
Well, you just prove it. You get a mason jar out and prove it. If I do that, if I break wind, you collect it in a mason jar and you bring it to me. And if we can get DNA to support that, I will pay $1 million.
You do a PowerPoint presentation like in your stupid movie?
I'm lying. I have to tell you something. I got bad poops.
Oh, Mr. Gore.
Bad poops. Too much time on the road and airline food. Some airlines actually feed you, you know. I'm sorry, Buzz. Go ahead.
All right. No, I was just going to say, in spite of that, Al, surveys done in major states and key states in the upcoming election show that Giuliani could beat Clinton, but that Al Gore, could beat Giuliani.
Tipper's tamales.
By the way, a survey in South Carolina after last night's debate shows Barack Obama as the debate winner.
Oh, hold on. Here he is misspeaking last night. Here's Barack Obama during the debates.
Mm-hmm. This donor engaged in some ethical behavior, and I've denounced it.
Again, one more time. It's a quick one.
This donor engaged in some ethical behavior, and I've denounced it.
She behaved with ethical behavior, and I denounced her.
Right.
See, I learned my lesson. He should have said unethical behavior.
This donor engaged in some ethical behavior, and I've denounced it.
I didn't hear that. I was in the loo.
Oh, Al.
Yes?
Question from the audience for you.
Sure.
Which cheese do you prefer?
My own. Homemade Tennessee Gore.
Do we have another question for Al Gore?
Which cheese do you prefer?
I told you my answer. I don't care to repeat myself.
Do we have another question for Al Gore?
I really don't.
Do we have another question?
What about the vagina?
Bury my face in Tipper's tamales. Yum, yum.
Rod, stop that. It's silly. Very silly indeed.
Thank you. The losers in last night's debate were the people who watched and learned that things never change much. They also learned that John Edwards now believes it was a mistake to get that $400 haircut.
Did you think so?
He reminded viewers that despite his now privileged lifestyle, he comes from the humblest of beginnings.
Please.
Besides, you go into a haircut with the barber you have, and although mistakes were made in the early days of his campaign grooming, we really should give the $400 haircut time to work.
Did you talk about his fat wife?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
If you're bipolar, I have good news and bad news. That
Shut up! What were you saying, Buzz? I love you, man.
Good news, bad news if you're bipolar.
I heard this!
That antidepressant your doctor prescribed for your crazy mood swings?
Yeah.
The one you were so happy to get?
Yeah.
Turns out it's useless and you're doomed. Doomed, I tell you. Today's New England Journal of Medicine says antidepressants don't do a thing for bipolars. But don't worry, in a few days you'll feel happy again, even if you have no idea why.
So angry.
He's a jackass.
Women really should, you really should consider sex.
Shutting up.
No, well, or
there I go again, finishing your sentence.
That's your bipolar.
A fair guess, but really the answer is sex on a first date. Women should really consider sex on a first date. They generally don't, thinking they'll be discarded when what they really want is a soulmate.
That would make them hoes.
So they wait, usually, to avoid the hoe label. They wait to see if the guy's really interested in them.
Hey, you know something? No, what? I had a dream last night.
That's what happens.
That technique, by the way, never fails. But the British doctor who authored the book The Rough Guide to the Brain says doing it sparks chemical changes in the human brain that lead to love and commitment. In other words, gals, if you want to hook that man... What am I saying? You know what to do.
So good.
Some guys, though, don't know how to handle a woman. Take the middle school teacher arrested here in Rockville, Maryland, for exposing himself to a busload of girls from Bethesda's Holy Cross Academy.
Oh, dear.
The girls on the bus say he pulled down his pants while he was driving his convertible. They say he made it a point to drive.
The Ringling Brothers should hire him. Cirque du Soleil or something.
Made it too bad it wasn't a hard top.
Oh, it is not.
Was a hard top.
He even made it a point to drive on both sides of the bus.
Hey, well, that's nice.
The crew coach took down his license plate number. The 43-year-old teacher is out of jail on his own good word.
Wow.
It's been that kind of a week for Maryland. More such nonsense when we return.
All right, thank you, Buzz. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
A couple of mouth-breathing Johnny.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
And this is you, cats and kittens. Our website's open all the time, DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Check it out, baby.
Check it out.
And now more of the Rocket Talk.
Here's Guy. Buzz, I understand Kurt Schilling is in the news. Buzz?
Let me check on that and get back to you. We were talking about the middle school teacher exposing himself to a busload of Catholic schoolgirls.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that it has been that kind of week for Maryland. In Baltimore, a nationally known children's author reportedly told a 10-year-old girl he would autograph her face, as she'd requested, if she would take off her clothes.
James Patterson.
Richard Lynn Stack has visited...
John Grisham.
Richard Lynn Stack has visited elementary classrooms across...
Stephen King would be...
Across the country.
You look at Stephen King, he's kind of got that look to him.
Mr. Stack.
He prefers to be treated like a dog.
Well, sure.
And also a toilet.
That was for Stephen King.
Richard Lynn Stack also says the parents' accusation, in this case, is ludicrous. Of the new Weed...
Ludicrous.
That's right.
Ludicrous, Bill.
Ludicrous. It's just a bunch of crap.
Oh, the new Wii game system is getting Americans off the couch as they take up virtual sports, including boxing, tennis, baseball, bowling, and golf.
Whee!
But with exertion Whee! Comes injury. And yes, the Wii-related injuries have begun.
I gotta tell you, I bought this.
Yes?
I bought the Wii system.
You hadn't mentioned it.
And, I don't know. I thought I followed the instructions. Yeah. I went to the bathroom on it.
Well, that explains it.
W-I-I. That was W-E-E.
No.
No.
Like Tinkle.
You've
no.
You've bought the wrong thing.
Tinkle Erotica.
There it is.
The injuries include Wii Elbow, which is a whole lot like tennis elbow, only
right.
from a video game. Nintendo warns of all this and more on its website. Carpal tunnel, eye strain, tendonitis. Chiropractors have put out some guidelines for Wii owners that include stretching and warm-up exercises and taking a break every 20 minutes.
And closing early on Friday.
And bringing your copay.
Now, you too can be a kind of Spider-Man. An Italian researcher says he's developing a suction cup suit that would stick to the sides of buildings or perhaps space shuttles. The researcher says he got the idea by studying gecko lizards. He's now trying to duplicate their suction cup systems. What could possibly go wrong?
That reminds me of like when Letterman put on that suit with 1,000 Alka-Seltzers on it and got dunked into that big tank of water. I mean, if you're Spider-Man,
right.
you simply can shoot the stuff out and climb up. If you've got suction cups,
right.
you're not a superhero.
Cheating, isn't it?
You're a dweeb.
You really are. And Letterman did have the Velcro suit also in which he stuck himself to a wall.
Oh, yeah.
I wish he'd do more of that. He's got to do a few more things like that.
You
know?
Kill him now.
What was the other thing wanted to tell you? Oh, researchers in England have found a way to help you remember stuff. The trick is to move your eyes from side to side for 30 seconds.
The question, you missed it at the very beginning.
One of those flying jokes.
Do the beginning of your setup again.
What was the other thing I was going to tell you? Oh, researchers in England have found a way to help you remember stuff.
Oh,
see?
I'm sorry.
That's got to
We're even.
Really, it's not a big deal.
That's a push.
Trust me, I promise you.
It's an even playing field, though.
Not a big deal.
I should have paid attention to
that. So here's the trick for remembering stuff. You're trying to call something to mind. Researchers say you move your eyes from side to side for 30 seconds. If you can remember to. The researchers say moving your eyes back and forth forces the two sides of your brain to communicate with each other better. That, they say, helps you remember whatever it was we were talking about.
Kurt Schilling.
Oh, I just read he's offering $1 million if anybody can prove his bloody sock is fake.
What are you doing with your eyes, Mike?
He's trying
doing
to,
the thing he says.
Trying to remember.
I'm all squirrely now.
Yeah, it will make you dizzy.
I got to get out of here. Man, I do. I really do. I got to get out of here, man.
Think we'll see eyes going back and forth when the lyrics become an issue tomorrow night?
Oh, no, man. I'm D.O.R. I'm D.O.R.
D.O.R.
D.O.R. is like Officer and Gentleman. I watched that the other night.
Hi, Death Panel.
Yeah, I'll get my job back at the JCPenney. I don't want to marry you. Hang myself in the bathroom.
Science may have found an explanation for the people known as night owls. How do they do it? In a study of how to adjust...
Hey, Mayor Barry.
I just want to go out all the time, a night owl.
How do you do it?
For a shilling.
In a study of how to adjust people's body clocks for shift work and time zone changes, researchers found a night owl gene. Granted, it's a mutated gene, but who are we to judge?
I like Calvin Klein.
They also found the part of the brain that deals with the changing of the seasons. Why, for example, do we eat more in the winter? And why does winter make some people sad? They also found that our body clocks run on a 10-month cycle. Because we live in a 12-month world, our bodies have to reset. Scientists say the happy sunshine of summer makes that reset just a little bit easier.
Oh, it's spring for me. Maintenance season.
Why don't we just set the calendar to 10 months instead of 12 then?
I would be in favor of that. I think it makes more sense.
And we can just get rid of one of the most worthless months.
Well, there you go again, canceling Christmas.
What are the most worthless months?
Oh, no, I would keep it, Mike.
Hello. Keep Christmas.
Christmas is a keeper.
Okay.
All of our holiday months are keepers.
Gotcha. Well, if you throw out 2 months, you lose December.
No, you don't throw out the... No, you could take them out anywhere.
Oh.
I was saying, like...
what? February?
You chuck February, please.
In January.
Yeah, those are the worst months of the year.
In February, always a short month, though?
Yeah,
it is short,
but,
yeah.
But it's always
it's always a yucky month.
Get rid of March.
Depressing
no!
month.
My birthday.
Oh, I'm sorry, Harp.
And where will we put the madness?
St. Patrick's Day, right?
Yes.
Harp. You are. I wouldn't have known that if you wouldn't have said it.
You should apologize to me like I must know.
I'm sorry, Mike.
I'm sorry I did that. I said a bad thing.
I'm a bad man.
Harp.
Well, finally, in Baltimore, 29-year-old Tiffany Weaver needed her man, and she needed him in a bad way.
Yeah, baby.
But he's going away for manslaughter. She won't see him for a really long time. She wanted loving with him just once more. So she posed as his lawyer, Amanda Sprain of Annapolis. That was made easier by stealing Amanda's Bar Association security pass with Tiffany's picture glued onto it.
Okay.
Tiffany also carried a few of Amanda's business cards for good measure. Amanda learned about this identity theft when she was banned from prison visits on account of having sex with an inmate. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
I'm looking for Amanda. Amanda, hug and kiss. Huh? And I'm looking at him right now. I'll see him tomorrow night at RFK Stadium.
You know I'm going to run into your arms after I sing that anthem.
Have a safe weekend, everybody. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. Love you, Andy. We'll be back Monday with a new episode. Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good luck tomorrow night at the game. We'll all see you there.
Thank you very much.
Bye, Kurt Schilling.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir. Ted.
Top-notch bud.
Tippers tamales.
This is the Don and Mike Show.